Jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
I expect it to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right? So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Today's show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. I protect my data with VPN, so should you. Visit expressvpn.com/Ben. Well, one of the odd things about modern American politics is how much attention we pay to national policy. Because, I mean, it makes some sense, I guess, because the national government is so big and because it's so intrusive and because we spend so unbelievably much money. Because of all of that, people tend to focus in on national policy. And that's also true because of the rise of social media, which means that every issue is now a borders-crossing issue. Just because something happened in California doesn't mean that the next day it's not going to be tried in New York or Florida. And just because something's happening far away doesn't mean that people aren't going to get online and talk about it. Well, because of all of this, we tend to put all of our focus on national politics. But the reality is that for most Americans, what happens on a day-to-day level is stuff that is happening in their local communities. And when we examine what has been happening to America's major cities over the course of the last 10 years, it is utterly appalling. I mean, truly. It's one of the reasons why you are seeing population movements away from cities and toward more suburban areas. It's one of the reasons you're seeing population movement away from places like New York and California and toward Texas and Florida. People are voting with their feet at this point. It's the reason why there is now an actual robust movement for part of, I believe, Oregon to secede and move into Idaho. It's called the Greater Idaho Movement. It's actually somewhat successful. There are some counties that are looking to move into the neighboring state. And you could theoretically see that become more of a pattern over time. And the reason for this is because America's major cities are governed according to ideology, and they are not governed according to the impact of that ideology. And people in these cities don't seem to realize that there are political alternatives. They take 10, 15 years to realize that perhaps they should move in another direction. We've had a long history of this in the United States. In the 1960s, New York was a robust, forward-looking place. They proceeded to blow out the spending, focusing on public works projects, focusing on welfare, redoing government, undercutting the cops. And by the 1980s, New York was basically a hellhole. And that is when Rudy Giuliani was elected in the early 1990s and then restored New York. And now New York is falling back into the abyss. Los Angeles saw the same sort of stuff. Los Angeles moved away from being the place where families moved to get a house in suburbia. And it moved toward being a more liberally governed city like New York. And then that failed, and Richard Reardon was elected in Los Angeles. And since then, L.A. has been moving back toward the model that suggests liberal governance, and all of the ensuing chaos has been difficult to watch. And you're seeing this happen in city after city after city. So today, for example, the Daily Mail reports, post-pandemic New York City is laid bare as homelessness, mental illness, and crime escalate, and rattles locals and tourists alike believe the town has lost its essence, while city cheerleaders insist the ship has turned. According to the Daily Mail, in Times Square, the most densely tourist-populated place in the United States, a mentally disturbed man known as Mr. Kim begs cops to kill him. "I want to die? You have a gun? Shoot," he pleads. After the officers demur, he picks up a plank of wood and starts smashing it against the Pele soccer shop. On Sutton Place, one of the most affluent residential areas in the city, a lone man squats on the sidewalk, intently reading a paperback novel next to a shopping cart that contains his worldly goods. He begs for cash with a sign saying he has lost everything. "Trying to survive," it adds, in Greenwich Village. A well-dressed man leaves his office minding his own business when a menacing character attempts to sucker punch him. The 6'4 suit ducks the punch, shrugs, and walks away. At Harlem's famed 125th Street, at 2 p.m. on a sunny May day, a middle-aged man sleeps off whatever he needs to sleep off on a bus stop bench outside a sneaker store, unaware that his naked backside is exposed for the world to see. These scenes come from across Manhattan as it struggles to get back on its feet after the COVID pandemic cut off its lifeblood of tourism, sent many of its wealthiest residents scurrying to places as diverse as Vermont and Florida, and upped the ante on homelessness, mental illness, and crime, particularly random assaults and stabbings. Governor Andrew Cuomo declared on Wednesday New Yorkers don't feel safe, and they don't feel safe because the crime rate is up. It's not that they're being neurotic or overly sensitive, they're right. We have a major crime problem in New York City. Everything we just talked about with the economy coming back, you know what the first step is? People have to feel safe again. Except for the fact that people aren't going to feel safe again so long as they continue to push bad governance in New York City. So long as they continue to treat criminality as though it is just another way of life. And so long as they continue to tax the living hell out of their citizens to pay for presumably no public services and simultaneously undercut the cops and tell the cops they're not allowed to do their jobs. What the Black Lives Matter riots of last year exposed is that in America's major cities, the cops have been called off. And because the cops have been called off, criminals are doing what they want to do. And not only that, low-level acts of criminality become more common. If the James Q. Wilson broken windows theory, which is basically that if you allow low-level crimes to predominate, higher-level crimes will follow, if you were to reverse that, the way to do that would be to say we are not going to prosecute high-level crimes, and low-level offenders are going to say, okay, well, if they're not prosecuting people who are, you know, breaking into shops openly on Fifth Avenue, then what does it matter if I jump a turnstile? If New York City decides to ignore the upswing of anti-Semitic hate crime in its midst over the past couple of years, then why wouldn't they get more of an upswing? Now, the liberal governance in New York City has decided that basically anything you do that is a low-level act of criminality is something that should be ignored on behalf of equity. And it's not just New York City. Blaming this on the pandemic ignores the fact that New York was having serious problems before the pandemic. New York was basically floating along the same river that the rest of the United States was in terms of the economy was really good before the pandemic. But there were underlying problems in New York City that were already causing millionaires and billionaires to move out of New York. There are already problems that were causing people to look outside of New York. The same thing is true in California. Article from the Daily Wire today. Jeffrey Kaywood reporting. A progressive coalition of activist groups in Los Angeles have targeted Democrat City Councilman Mitch O'Farrell, blaming him for the relocation of about 200 homeless people who were part of an encampment that had taken over a public park in his district. So even Democrats in L.A. are beginning to look around and realize the taxpayers don't exactly like it when homelessness swamps the city. Because homelessness is not just a matter of people who are living on the street. Although, again, people who pay taxes have a right to the public thoroughfare just as well as people who are mentally ill or drug addicts living on the street. And allowing mentally ill or drug addicts or people who have decided to simply loiter to hang around on city streets is not an excellent way of providing a feeling of safety and security to citizens who are paying exorbitant taxes in order to get exactly that feeling of security. But in Los Angeles, they've been allowing homelessness to spiral out of control for literally years. The ACLU received a court order that prevented the cops from actually moving homeless people's stuff on the street. They declared it was private property of homeless people. So these homeless folks can be on the street dirtying a public thoroughfare that they pay no taxes on, and they obviously don't have a right to. But you can't move their stuff, because if you move their stuff, that's their stuff. So the public property is their stuff, but also their stuff is their stuff. Whereas for you, the public property is not your stuff. You don't have any right to it, free of open needles on the street and open liquor bottles and people who are mentally ill. And by the way, none of this is compassionate to people who actually have drug addictions or people who are mentally ill. One of the great lies that is told by the left-wing media is that somehow you are more compassionate if you leave people to live in their own filth underneath a freeway overpass than if you were to actually take measures to prevent people from doing that. Some of these folks need actual medication. Many of them need to dry out. But the basic notion that it is now the responsibility of taxpayers to watch their cities degrade because someone has a right to engage in activity that deprives them of their own ability to reason is beyond, it's beyond measure. It's crazy. And things are getting worse and worse in these cities. Again, driven by the radical left, which is now eating Democrats in these cities. And the big problem in a lot of these cities is that the alternative to the Democratic governance isn't some sort of Republican being elected. The alternative to Democratic governance is some sort of communist being elected. This is actually the problem in Portland. And the mayor of Portland, who's a left-wing nut who's allowed riots to go on in his cities for months on end, that mayor was a bulwark against a communist who was about to win over there. Seattle has degraded. L.A. has degraded. Chicago has degraded. Says the Daily Wire, homeless advocates swarmed O'Farrell, this is Mitch O'Farrell in L.A., on Wednesday afternoon as Echo Park Lake officially reopened after 2 months of undergoing extensive cleaning, repair, and renovation. The project cost more than $1 million. Sanitation crews had reportedly removed syringes, guns, machetes, and according to O'Farrell's office, more than 700 pounds of biological waste. So things were going great in the park. Don't worry. It was making the city healthier and freer. Demonstrators, however, chanted shame on Mitch and called for his resignation, Staffers tried to shield O'Farrell as the activist shouted and followed him around the park before the councilman retreated to his office a block away. "This is going to be your legacy," Mitch, one attendee loudly predicted. They accused O'Farrell of sending LAPD to the 29-acre park in March to sweep homeless people out of the area, resulting in officers clashing with protesters after police issued a dispersal order. O'Farrell claimed no one was forcibly removed by law enforcement. The protest group included activists representing People's City Council, L.A., an alliance convened by Black Lives Matter, of course, because lawlessness is one of the chief goals of the Black Lives Matter movement. They truly believe that systems of power in the United States are so corrupt that lawlessness is required. Mitch thought he could show his face in public and not have to hear from people, tweeted People's City Council, L.A. Well, Mitch O'Farrell and his staff got chased out of the park. This is what it's going to be like, Mitch. Hashtag MitchWatch. Hashtag resign Mitch. Naturally, an organizer with People's City Council LA seeks to unseat O'Farrell when he is up for re-election in 2022. Activists pointed out signs displaying a litany of rules governing the park. Those rules are rules saying things like, if you leave your property in the park, it could be removed and impounded. And also, you're not allowed to shoot up in the park. But this is bad. You're not allowed to have cops in the park, according to these activists. Okay, this is what decades of democratic governance reeks. And it gets worse and worse. And one of the reasons that we moved from L.A. is specifically because of these living conditions. If you're paying extraordinarily high taxes and receiving zero public services and you have to worry about your kids walking out the front door, yes, that is a reason to move. The neighborhood we moved from was a fairly decent suburb in an Orthodox Jewish area. And as I've talked about, when you open the front gate on our property, there would be this happened more than once. There'd be a homeless person beating the living hell out of his bike with a crowbar because the person was suffering from some sort of mental illness, or a homeless person face down in the street with a needle in his arm. Yes, that happened. Or a homeless person sitting directly on the tree outside your property and just eating from a can. Like, how am I supposed to let my kids out the front gate? And it's gotten worse in the area where I used to live. How bad did it get? Well, there was a public-private endeavor called NoHo West that was fairly close to where I used to live. NoHo West cost probably $100 million to build. It was a giant, giant new mall. It was going to be beautiful. The city of Los Angeles and the state of California decided to locate directly across the street the largest open-air homeless encampment in California. So they took a $100 million project, public-private project, that used taxpayer money for the development, presumably, and then they proceeded to wreck it and make it very difficult for people to go there because there are literally hundreds of homeless people who are swarming around a park right there. Now, again, I have nothing but compassion for people who are suffering from mental illness. They require care. One of the great disappointments of liberalism is that all the people they say need care are many of the people they say need care are people who are fully capable of agency and making good decisions. And then a lot of the people they say don't need care are exactly the people who actually require the care. And they refuse to actually put in place rules that would help those people. Instead, they consider it compassionate to let them sleep under open air in sleeping bags provided by the city of LA directly across from a public-private development, destroying the value of that enterprise. It's incredible. And by the way, it's not just L.A. It's happening in Austin as well. We'll get to that in just 1 second. First, here's a simple fact. You could be paying a lot less for your home every month. This is really a true statement since interest rates are still in the twos. But they're not going to be this low forever, so you really do need to act right now. Call American Financing. Get a free mortgage review. There's no obligation, no pressure, no upfront or hidden fees. Just a simple conversation around which loan program might be the best fit. Because they want you to have the best rate and the lowest monthly payment possible. They really are in it for you, which is why they follow a consultative approach, helping you understand options before customizing a loan for you. And let me tell you, they have access to countless programs, so you're certain to find the right fit. Many of their customers are saving up to $1,000 a month. Why not see what they can do for you? Call American Financing right now at 866-721-3300. That's 866-721-3300, or visit AmericanFinancing.net. NMLS 182334, NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Again, now's a great time to do that mortgage refi. Your highest monthly bill is probably that mortgage bill. Why not get it lowered right now? By my friends at American Financing. Check them out, AmericanFinancing.net, 866-721-3300, AmericanFinancing.net. Coming up, it's not just New York, it's not just L.A., it's also Austin, Texas. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
Hey, listen to this. Last Tuesday, I was robbed blind. A thief broke my car window, took my laptop, and ran off. Or at least that's what would have happened if I didn't have Vivint. Instead, here's what really happened. Thief walked up, my Vivint camera detected him, scared him, and he ran away. iVivint security system doesn't just record crime, it actually prevents it with a flashing red light and a whistle. And the best part is I can check in on my home from anywhere right from my phone. Whether I'm at the gym or the office, thanks to Vivint, all is well. If you want a system professionally installed, fit with the best cameras and 24/7 monitoring, call Vivint today. 833-420-4070 for a free quote and lock in free installation and a free month of monitoring service. Vivint, smart security professionally installed. Call 833-420-4070 to get started today. Offer valid for new customers only. System purchase requires monthly service agreement and equipment package. Speak to a Vivint representative today for complete equipment, services, and financing details. Visit Vivint.com for licensing information. Other terms and conditions may apply.
Corey lived in more than 30 foster homes before she was 16.
I thought, I'm going to end up on the streets. That's just how it's going to be.
Thankfully, Corey was adopted with help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption. She earned a college scholarship and has a bright future. But every year, thousands of youth age out of foster care without a permanent loving family. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers: bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you: printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Hi, I'm Todd Simon, the fifth-generation family owner of Omaha Steaks. There's nothing I love more than putting a steak on the grill for Father's Day. With Dad's Day right around the corner, send him more than just a gift. Send him an experience with a get-out-and-grill assortment. This package includes 20 entrees he's guaranteed to love. My personal favorite is the 10-ounce butcher-cut New York strip. Plus, you'll get 4 New York strip burgers free with your order. Visit omahasteaks.com and type sizzle in the search bar. That's omahasteaks.com, keyword sizzle.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So crappy Democratic governance is afflicting cities everywhere, from New York to Los Angeles and also in Austin, Texas. According to the Daily Wire, on Thursday, Austin, Texas Councilmember Mackenzie Kelly appeared on Fox and Friends to speak of her fear that the homeless who are camping en masse around the City Hall area, some of whom are protesting a proposition that prohibited public camping, pose a genuine threat to public safety. Kelly said, "I was hoping to find out what their point of view was. One of the great things about living in the country, we have a diversity of thought. We can all learn from one another." But clearly, individuals specifically did not want to do that. Okay, so according to Kelly, she said, "This is my main concern, not just for my safety, but for the safety of everyone who works around City Hall in and around downtown." Some of the residents told this person, quote, "You have people who are assaulted, people who are robbed. You've had home invasions. It started with box cutters as weapons. Now, sadly, we joke that we're the machete capital of Texas. The city of Austin basically allows them to do whatever they want." Kelly says, "I've been told by the city manager the free speech zone will not go away until August 8th. My problem with that is that this has happened before. During the Occupy movement 10 years ago, our city council ensured there was no oversight camping on the property. My biggest concern here is for safety." She said, "These people are armed with machetes. They have metal pipes. They have 6 walkie-talkies. They're wearing bulletproof vests. They've not only harassed me, I've had city staff come into my office over the last several days thanking me for speaking out about it because they're experiencing the same thing." Roughly 3 weeks ago, the voters of Austin, again, a very progressive city in Texas, approved Proposition B, which prohibits public camping in an effort to combat the city's homeless problem. 57% of voters approved of the proposition, 42% opposed it. The Democratic mayor of Austin and city council, the city council is 10 Democrats and a single Republican. Okay, but the Travis County Republican chair, Matt McCoviak, said, "Tonight is a clear message the city of Austin sent to City Hall. We're not going to put up with the insane policies that make life worse. But things have gotten so bad in Austin that there are places that are seeking to de-annex from Austin and just allow the state of Texas to govern them directly." I mean, it's truly incredible how these blue cities are starting to fall apart. In Chicago, Chicago has now announced, their police department just announced, that they're changing their policy with regard to foot pursuits. Okay, what is their new policy with regard to foot pursuits? You want to talk about allowing criminality to flourish? Their policy with regard to foot pursuits is that foot pursuits will only be allowed when there is, quote, probable cause for an arrest, or it is believed an individual has committed, is committing, or is about to commit a crime. There will be no foot chases stemming from minor traffic offenses. So if somebody is speeding and they get out of their car and they run, the police are not allowed to chase them. Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot said, because foot pursuits are one of the most dangerous actions police officers can engage in, we can't afford to wait any longer to put a policy in place that regulates them. The important parameters outlined in this policy will not only protect our officers, the public, and potential suspects during foot pursuits. It also serves as a step forward in our mission to modernize and reform our police department. The interim plan includes the following. Reminding officers to begin any interaction with tactics meant to reduce the possibility of a foot pursuit. Defining foot pursuits as appropriate only when there is probable cause for an arrest, or it is believed an individual has committed, is committing, or is about to commit a crime. Prohibiting foot pursuits stemming from minor traffic offenses. Detailing tactics to avoid a foot pursuit, including continual communication with the subject and encouraging officers to position themselves in such a way to reduce the opportunity for a foot chase. Outlining alternatives to foot pursuits that should always be considered by officers, including establishing a surveillance or containment area and or apprehending an identified suspect at another time or place. So otherwise, let the guy go. Let him run away. Committed a crime. But you know what? Is it really worth it? Basically what this does is it creates liability for an officer deciding to pursue, but no liability for letting the guy go. That's the incentive structure that has now been created for Chicago cops. If you follow the guy, you're now going to have to justify to the police department why you engaged in a foot pursuit. But if you just let the criminal go and he goes and he shoots somebody, you can always say, well, you know what? I really didn't think a foot pursuit was appropriate. I wasn't sure he was going to go commit a crime. Okay, the benefit of the doubt used to be with the cops. Okay, and you may say there was too much benefit of the doubt to the cops. That's an argument. But the alternative, it seems, is benefit of the doubt to the criminals. Because once you tell cops they can just not do their jobs, and in fact, it is dangerous for them to do their jobs, they're not going to do their jobs. The new Chicago policy prohibits foot pursuits for criminal offenses less than a Class A misdemeanor, unless the person poses an obvious threat to the community or any person, and discontinuing foot pursuits if someone is injured and requires immediate medical attention, if officers are unaware of their location, and if the need to apprehend the subject is not worth the risk to responding officers, the public, or the subject. Termination of a foot pursuit if officers engaged in the pursuit believe they would not be able to control the suspect if a confrontation were to occur. Well, that's literally the suspect has a gun. I can't control the subject. Right? So I mean, this is madness. So the city of Chicago is now, by the way, supervisors are also made liable for this because now supervisors are allowed to instruct officers to discontinue a foot pursuit at any time. And anytime there's a foot pursuit, officers have to notify the Office of Emergency Management and Communications. All of this was done in the aftermath of the fatal police shooting of 13-year-old Adam Toledo, who was holding a gun and was shooting at random cars passing by. So this is all designed to prevent the shooting of Adam Toledo, who was, in fact, engaging in deadly type criminal behavior. Shooting guns at passing cars is a deadly type criminal behavior. And the city of Chicago's solution is tell the cops to stop engaging in foot pursuits. Can you imagine why the cities are getting worse? How could they possibly be getting worse? How? Okay, well, play stupid games, win stupid prizes is the name of the game over in Atlanta, which is pursuing similar policies. According to the New York Post, an Atlanta mayoral candidate who voted to sequester $73 million from the city's police department budget reportedly had his car stolen by a group of young thieves this week and wound up thanking the cops for their help. City Council member Antonio Brown had just gotten out of his white Mercedes coupe to speak to fellow community leader Ben Norman in northwest Atlanta's Dixie Hills community Wednesday when he spotted four or five kids, the youngest only six or seven. The kids were walking around a store, and within seconds, they jumped inside his car. One kid was in the driver's seat, Brown told the outlet. Ben attempted to open the door to get him out of the car. He fought with Ben. I then engaged and tried to get him out of the car. The three other kids were trying to figure out how to get in the car or stay out of the car. He started to hit on the gas, and Ben let it go. As he started to speed up, and if I knew I had not let it go, I knew I could probably have killed myself because he was going so fast I would have started to tumble, he said, and I would have hurt him. Brown said he filed a report with the Atlanta PD. And now again, Brown voted to defund the police. What did Brown say? He said, it appears the kids acted out of desperation. He said, this is a generational poverty issue. These kids, it's 12:30 in the afternoon. Why aren't they in school? Why aren't we enforcing systems to ensure that if they're not in school, they're in rec centers? Or again, you could just tell the cops never to enforce the law, and the predictable result is they will steal your car. Bet, so play stupid games, win stupid prizes. Alrighty, coming up, if you hate what's happening in the cities, get ready for it to go national. Joe Biden's got a plan to do just that. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Did the Redding summer heat put a toll on your vehicle? Is your paint faded, peeling, or even scratched up? It'll get worse faster than you think. You may think it's way too expensive to have painted. Well, think again. You can bring it to Maaco here in Redding and get a professional paint job and save big with their $4.99 special. Maaco also has interest-free loans for up to a year OAC. Maaco, America's Body Shop, 3045 Crossroads Drive. Uh-oh. Better call Maaco, 226-0992. Have you been involved in a minor accident and find it's not big enough to go through your insurance company? Bring it to Maaco and get it fixed at a fraction of the cost. Remember, it's your choice where you go to have your vehicle repaired. Call Maaco for uncompromised quality, quick turnaround times, and all work backed by the National Maaco Warranty. Maaco, America's Body Shop. Stop it at 3045 Crossroads Drive or call 226-0992. Uh-oh. Better call Maaco, 226-0992.
Did you know that the city of Redding has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Redding area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Redding.
Hey, Northern California, this is Nigel Skeet. And starting on Saturday, June 22nd at 8 a.m., I'll be hosting a new weekly California Adventure District radio show. There are so many great things happening in our region, and I'll be bringing them all to you every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. I'll have guests from our 12 surrounding counties, including Humboldt, Siskiyou, Trinity, Lassen, Mendocino, and many more. You will be able to plan for a great summer and fall right here in the California Adventure District. Join me every Saturday morning at 8 a.m.
Hey, guys, I'm Bob the Drop. Welcome to my podcast. Do you like water? If you do, you're going to love me. I'm pure and simple. I'm talking refreshing. Yeah. Spent 500 years in a glacier. The boy was that cold. I never was and never will be tap water. Nope. Bottled at the source, the base of Mount Shasta. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. You can try me by calling 1-800-922-6227. Mount Shasta Spring Water.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans' issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5 at 1460 AM.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6:05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6:05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutoBody.com. Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
Supply.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, President Biden, he looks at what's happening in the cities and he thinks to himself, it would be kind of great if that were national. So, Joe Biden has already determined that policing around the nation is going to now essentially be prosecuted by Kristen Clark, who's a wild anti-police activist. We're going to see consent decrees brought against most major police departments in the United States under the DOJ. You're going to see Joe Biden continue to trot out the lie that the police are systemically racist and that the crime problem in America's major cities is the result of either the presence of guns or the result of systemic American racism. Already he had Jen Psaki out there promoting this nonsense. And then he's going to pursue an economic policy that completely disincentivizes work, that makes it more difficult for businesses to start, that inflates the currency and discourages savings. I mean, all of this is bad policy, right? And Joe Biden is pursuing it with alacrity. Like he wants $1.3 trillion in debt added to the national debt every single year for the next 10 years. But he promises that by 2031, when Joe Biden will be 88 years old, if he is alive, then the debt will start to come down. And Joe Biden has been noticing, however, that the inflation rate was up wildly last month and that the employment statistics are not coming back as fast as he wanted them to. And so Joe Biden yesterday gave a speech in which he announced, well, you know, you can't reboot the economy without bumps in the road. Well, actually, you should be able to reboot this economy without bumps in the road, considering this is the greatest artificially induced economic coma in American history. And until you got there, Joe, things were starting to look up and we had booming growth in February. And then by March, the growth was already starting to downgrade. And by April, it was stagnating. Here is Joe Biden trying to pretend that him blowing money into the economy has actually been a boon rather than an albatross around the economy's neck.
Now, as our economy recovers, there are going to be some bumps in the road. We know that. Of course there will be. You can't reboot a global economy like flipping on a light switch. There's going to be ups and downs in jobs and economic reports. There's going to be supply chain issues. Price distortions on the way back to a stable and steady growth.
Okay, except for the fact that the entire point of you blowing $2 trillion into the economy like 6 weeks ago was supposed to be that it was going to even this thing out. That was supposedly the purpose. Instead, all you ended up doing was leading to higher prices because more people had more money chasing fewer products. And now Biden is saying he needs even more spending because why the hell not? I mean, seriously, why not? Joe Biden says his economic plan is working, but he urges additional, quote unquote, generational investments. All he cares about is getting his legacy before he's out. That's all the old man cares about. He says now is the time to build on the foundation we've laid to make bold investments in our families, in our communities, in our nation. But, of course, he's not actually, his plan is not working. Right? And he continues to blow out these massive spending programs, meanwhile pushing out regulations and higher taxes and bad social policy and bad policing policy. If you want to Los Angeles, you're America, this is the way to do it. Or New York, you're America, this is the way to do it. And the man guiding us through this is a man who's locked in a constant existential duel with the teleprompter. Our continuing series, Joe Biden versus the teleprompter, continued yesterday when Joe Biden announced that Alzheimer's patients are going to fill every hospital bed in America within a few years, which is big if true.
Diseases like Alzheimer's, diabetes, cancers, they're all on the cusp of being able to be dealt with. You know, if we don't do something about Alzheimer's in America, every single solitary hospital bed that exists in America, as the nurses can tell you, every single one will be occupied in the next 15 years with an Alzheimer's patient. Every one.
Hey, first of all, you're not hospitalized just for having Alzheimer's. You're hospitalized with complications arising from Alzheimer's. But beyond that, is the case being made really that every single hospital, like you won't be able to go to the hospital if you have a broken leg because there's an Alzheimer's patient in the bed? According to Joe, like, again, this incoherent old coot is blowing out the economy and nationalizing Bill de Blasio's policy in New York and Eric Garcetti's policy in Los Angeles, and Lori Lightfoot's policy in Chicago. Meanwhile, reporters are just fawning over him. No serious questions for him. They're fawning over the fact that he eats ice cream. I love the fact that Joe Biden, an old man eating ice cream, this is considered like, wow, unbelievable. You've never seen anything like it. Here's Joe Biden eating ice. I mean, the man can do virtually anything. He can both eat ice cream and also barely not fall down. It's incredible. Here is Joe Biden eating ice cream. And the oh my God, just the unbelievable virality of the man. I mean, virility of the man, just unbelievable.
Mr. President, what did you order?
Chocolate chip.
Oh yeah. Look at Joe eating chocolate chip, destroying the economy and making But he likes ice cream, guys. It's incredible. Bunch of children. Bunch of damn children. Meanwhile, Republicans are doing what they usually do, which is they are trying to counter Democrat spending with spending of their own, which is slightly less spending. So here's the thing about being a Republican, guys. If you guys would like to win in the future, you need to stop with this crap where you just become the Democratic Party light when it comes to spending. I understand that you think that Democrats, because they have an advantage with regard to bribing voters, that if you just half bribe voters, that that will work. But let me provide you an alternative theory. If this is a competition between who can spend more money to bribe people, Democrats will win that competition. So why exactly are you offering a $928 billion plan for quote-unquote actual infrastructure? A group of Republican senators have now counter-offered the Biden administration's $1.7 trillion infrastructure plan with a proposal that would spend around $928 billion instead, with much of the money already coming from expected spending levels. According to the Washington Post, the bulk of the money would be spent on roads, $500 billion. Let me just explain, we don't need $500 billion for the damned roads. According to The Atlantic, 85% of America's roads and bridges are in fine shape. The vast majority of America's roads and bridges aren't even under federal auspices. Another $214 billion would be set aside for public transportation. Great. Water infrastructure and passenger rail. Not a single dime should be spent on passenger rail. Okay, we don't need monorail from The Simpsons. We don't. Passenger rail. What is this, 1832? Passenger rail. About a quarter of the money, according to the Post, would be new spending. The rest would come from hundreds of billions in unspent stimulus money or pre-planned spending. During a Thursday press conference, Senator Shelley Moore Capito, the lead Republican in the infrastructure negotiation, said the $928 billion cost of the plan would be spent over 8 years. Republicans say, well, this is actual infrastructure. You're right. It is actual infrastructure. Also, you don't need to be in a spending contest with the Democrats, because I'll tell you how this is going to end up. Seriously, the way that this is going to end up is with Democrats passing a larger bill and then suggesting that they are more generous, because this is the way it always works. I will show you proof. Joe Biden yesterday, he went out, and during his speech at one point, he pointed out that the quote-unquote American Rescue Plan, for which zero Republicans voted, is being touted by many Republicans in their own district. Now, to be fair to some of those Republicans, added provisions to their bills, to that bill that brought home the bacon for their districts, knowing the bill would pass, and voted against the bill because they didn't like the bill in its entirety. So they're sort of bragging about the fact that they got a provision that helped their district into the bill. But here's the reality. Joe Biden saying, you guys voted against this giant aid package and now you're bragging about the quote-unquote aid package. It's kind of a telling political point. Shockingly, the president isn't entirely wrong here. Here he goes.
Even my Republican friends in Congress, not a single one of them voted for the rescue plan. I'm not going to embarrass any one of them, but I have here a list of how back in their districts they're bragging about the rescue plan. They touted the restaurant revitalization fund. They touted the fact that we're in a situation where they're dealing with touted grants to community health care centers. Touted. I mean, some people have no shame.
but the truth is that he's not completely wrong when it comes to the fact that Republicans can't have it both ways. You can't be the party of spending and then be like, okay, well, the other guys spend more, but also, like, I'm glad the spending is that's not how any of this works. Here's what Republicans ought to be doing. Make the Democrats own the spending. Make them own the spending. See, right now, the economy would be set to boom were it not for the intervention of the Biden administration. Now would be an excellent time for Republicans to say, listen, you want to pass all the spending? It's on you. Really, go for it. Enjoy. It's all you. And put all the onus and the pressure on Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema to vote along with this stuff. Put all the pressure on Mark Kelly in Arizona to vote along with this stuff. Force a choice for the voters. Do you want to spend this much money or do you not want to spend this much money? But don't give Democrats the ability to come back and say, well, you know, Republicans opposed the spending, but they really didn't oppose the spending very much. This is why the death of the Tea Party movement was such a disaster for Republicans. And we ended up in this sort of populist miasma where we don't even have the argument anymore that spending is bad. The entire Tea Party was formulated around the notion that blowing out government spending was a bad idea. And then Republicans were like, yeah, but what if we just spent more money? It was idiotic at the time. It remains idiotic. Hey, honestly, and Democrats are ready to fall right into this binary trap. They are. Democrats are out there saying that Democrats should stop negotiating and ram it through. You know what? They're right. Do it. Own it. Make the Democrats own it. Let Elizabeth Warren own all the spending she wants to do. She wants to pursue modern monetary theory and blow out the inflation. Make all the quote-unquote moderate Democrats in the Senate go along with that or choose to side against their own party. Put their feet to the fire. Elizabeth Warren, more power to her. Here she was on MSNBC yesterday.
I don't see this just as Congress can't compromise. I see this as right now the Democrats are trying to get things passed that make sense, like a January 6th investigation or some sensible gun safety protections, things that are wildly popular all across this nation. And the Republican response has simply been no. They've just crossed their arms and said no. We're just not going to do that. It's hard to compromise with someone who's just saying no. It's not like there's some place you meet in the middle on that.
Okay, fine. Do it. Seriously, do it. Bernie is saying the same thing. Let them be just what they want to be. Right? Bernie Sanders put out a piece at CNN. He says, what happens if Democrats go forward in a different direction? What happens if they spend week after week, month after month, negotiating with Republicans who have little intention of addressing the serious crises facing the working families of this country? What happens if, after the passage of the vitally important American Rescue Plan, the momentum stops and we accomplish little or nothing? The American people want action, not never-ending negotiations and obstructionism, and they will not come out and vote for a party that does not deliver. Okay, force them to the choice, man. Do it. So here's the thing. The Democrats know that their record here is not going to bode well for them. And so they've decided to turn their attention elsewhere. Because they can't make this about their record. They really cannot. Not in the cities. Not nationally. We'll get to more on this in just 1 second. First, does it make sense that the same company that controls half of online retail also passively eavesdrops on your private conversations at home? What about the idea that a single company controls 90% of all internet searches, runs your email service, and gets to track everything you do on your smartphone? Well, big tech is more powerful than most countries are at this point. They profit by exploiting your personal data. It's time to put a layer of personal protection between your online activity and those tech juggernauts, and that is why I use ExpressVPN. Think about how much of your life is on the internet. Sadly, every site you visit, video you watch, message you send gets tracked and data mined. But when you run ExpressVPN on your device, the software hides your IP address, something big tech can use to personally identify you. So ExpressVPN makes your activity harder to trace and sell to advertisers. ExpressVPN also encrypts 100% of your internet data to keep you safe from hackers and eavesdroppers on your network. And ExpressVPN does all that without slowing your connection. What I like most about ExpressVPN is how easy it is to use. Download the app on your phone or computer, tap one button, and you are now protected. So, stop handing over your personal data to the big tech monopoly that mines your activity and sells your info. Protect yourself with the VPN I trust to keep me safe online. Visit expressvpn.com/Ben right now. You get 3 extra months for free when you use that special code, expressvpn.com/Ben. Alrighty, coming up, if the Democrats aren't capable of putting forward really popular legislation, they have another strategy, investigations. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Hi, I'm Todd Simon, the fifth-generation family owner of Omaha Steaks. There's nothing I love more than putting a steak on the grill for Father's Day. With Dad's Day right around the corner, send him more than just a gift. Send him an experience with a get-out-and-grill assortment. This package includes 20 entrees he's guaranteed to love. My personal favorite is the 10-ounce butcher-cut New York strip. Plus, you'll get 4 New York strip burgers free with your order. Visit omahasteaks.com and type sizzle in the search bar. That's omahasteaks.com, keyword sizzle.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Earth Justice is a national legal nonprofit defending the planet and its people for nearly 50 years. Earth Justice has 150 full-time lawyers fighting in court for our planet's future and representing all clients free of charge. Until people come before profit, all energy is clean, the wild is truly free, and justice stands for all. Earth Justice will never rest. Learn more at earthjustice.org/neverrest. Earth Justice, because the earth needs a good lawyer.
Hey, listen to this. Last Tuesday, I was robbed blind. A thief broke my car window, took my laptop, and ran off. Or at least that's what would have happened if I didn't have Vivint. Instead, here's what really happened. Thief walked up, my Vivint camera detected him, scared him, and he ran away. My Vivint security system doesn't just record crime, it actually prevents it with a flashing red light and a whistle. And the best part is, I can check in on my home from anywhere right from my phone, whether I'm at the gym or the office, thanks to Vivint. All is well. If you want a system professionally installed, fit with the best cameras and 24/7 monitoring, call Vivint today. 833-420-4070 for a free quote and lock in free installation and a free month of monitoring service. Vivint, smart security professionally installed. Call 833-420-4070 to get started today. Offer valid for new customers only. System purchase requires monthly service agreement and equipment package. Speak to a Vivint representative today for complete equipment, services, and financing details. Visit Vivint.com for licensing information. Other terms and conditions may apply.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So it is fairly incredible how predictable Democrats have become. When things are going poorly in terms of legislation, it's time to unleash investigations. It's time for investigations, gang. We need investigations. This is why the left is so focused in on the January 6th commission idea. Okay, now, the reality is there are some questions that could be asked about January 6th. Seriously, like, there was a three-hour gap, apparently, between when the riots began in the Capitol and when the police actually arrived on scene, when law enforcement arrived on scene to stop all that. What happened during that three-hour intervening period? We could find out why exactly Nancy Pelosi had not wanted more law enforcement on premises at the time. Okay, but what the Democrats want from this January 6th commission, pretty obviously, is to make the 2022 election a referendum on Trump and to suggest that all Republicans are complicit in January 6th, which is why they're going to make it about the rhetoric. What led up to January 6th? What was the ideology in people's minds? Which, again, is a crackdown on ideology and a crackdown on how people think and how people speak, not really an investigation into the systematic law enforcement failures that allowed people to breach the Capitol building. Okay, we didn't have the 9/11 Commission was really not about the ideological roots of Al-Qaeda. The 9/11 Commission report was really about the systematic law enforcement failures. What exactly happened? But Democrats don't want to restrict this to what exactly happened on that day. They want it to be broader, and they want this thing to take beyond the boundaries of the year. They would like this to bleed into next year so they can continue talking about January 6th. And then they can say, listen, no matter how badly we've governed the country, the people on the other side, those guys are the real threats of the country. They're the ones who are truly scary. This is why Joe Biden continues to fulminate over January 6th. It was 6 months ago. Order was restored inside of a few hours, and the vote went forward. The only person who was killed was one of the rioters, Ashley Babbitt. That's the only person who was murdered on scene. Well, murdered is strong. Who was killed on scene. Okay, the cops who died on, there's no evidence at this point that they were killed on scene by the rioters. So is that, I mean, George Will suggested it was comparable to 9/11 in terms of how Americans should think about it. That, of course, is incredibly silly. Not the same. But we're going to continue to focus in on January 6th, because if your policies are failing, this is what you do. Here is Joe Biden pushing the January 6th stuff.
I can't imagine anyone voting against the establishment of a commission on the greatest assault since the Civil War on the Capitol. But at any rate, hey guys, I can't for ice cream.
That's right.
The greatest assault since the Civil War? What in the world? Okay, but we know what in the world, and that is political misdirection. The media are fully invested in this. They are pointing out which Republicans are supporting the 1-6 commission. Those would be Susan Collins, Lisa Murkowski, and Mitt Romney have all said that they are supporting. That is not a shock, of course. Then there are about 9 Republicans who are still considering. That would include Shelley Moore Capito of West Virginia, Bill Cassidy of Louisiana, Mike Crapo of Idaho, Jerry Moran of Kansas, Rob Portman of Ohio, Ben Sasse of Nebraska, John Thune of South Dakota, Pat Toomey of Pennsylvania, and Roger Wicker of Mississippi. Joe Manchin said today he thinks there may be 5 or 6 Republicans who are in favor, but a lot of Republicans are not. When asked if he would break the filibuster, if he would vote to nuke the filibuster in order to get the 1-6 commission, Manchin was like, no, I don't think that's appropriate.
Would you be willing to break the filibuster in order to get this passed?
I'm not ready to destroy our government. No, I think the base will come together. You have to have faith. There's 10 good people.
Okay, and if there aren't 10 good people, in his view, if there aren't enough Republicans, then guess what? Democrats will launch their partisan commission anyway. I mean, we all know where this commission is going, don't we? The whole point of this is to keep Trump front and center in the American public imagination. That is the entire goal here, because we kind of know what we were going to know, and the only stuff that we don't know could have been found out by Democrats during an impeachment inquiry, which they decided not to do, in favor of rushing that thing forward so they could get an impeachment on the books so Nancy Pelosi could claim she'd impeached Trump twice or something, as though she got extra points. Meanwhile, if you don't like that investigation, they've got other ones on the way. According to the New York Times, federal prosecutors in Brooklyn have been investigating whether several Ukrainian officials helped orchestrate a wide-ranging plan to meddle in the 2020 presidential election, including using Rudy Giuliani to spread their misleading claims about President Biden and tilt the election in Donald Trump's favor, according to people with knowledge of the matter. More investigations into Ukraine and Russia. Sounds great. The criminal investigation, which began during the final months of the Trump administration and has not been previously reported, underscores the federal government's increasingly aggressive approach toward rooting out foreign interference in American electoral politics. Much of that effort is focused on Russian intelligence, which has suspected ties to at least one of the Ukrainians now under investigation. Now, you'll recall that the entire Russia collusion investigation came to nothing after years of the media pumping it. Get ready for more of this. Now the suggestion is going to be that Russians operating inside Ukraine were trying to skew the 2020 election. Now, you'll recall that there was no investigation into Ukrainian efforts to skew the 2016 election. Why? Because the Ukrainians were on Hillary Clinton's side. This is from Politico, January 2017. Donald Trump wasn't the only presidential candidate whose campaign was boosted by officials of a former Soviet bloc country. Ukrainian officials tried to help Hillary Clinton and undermine Trump by publicly questioning his fitness for office. They also disseminated documents implicating a top Trump aide in corruption and suggested they were investigating the matter only to back away after the election. And they helped Clinton's allies research damaging information on Trump and his advisors, a Politico investigation found. A Ukrainian-American operative who was consulting for the DNC met with top officials in the Ukrainian embassy in Washington in an effort to expose ties between Trump, top campaign aide Paul Manafort, and Russia, according to people with direct knowledge of the situation. Was there a federal investigation into that? No. No. So more investigation. By the way, there are certain investigations they are not happy about, the Democrats. Some of those investigations include, like, the only important investigation internationally right now, which is whether COVID was leaked from a Wuhan lab. That is important because we need to know when the Chinese government knew about COVID. If they knew about this thing in November, and then they waited until late January to announce that it was human-to-human transmission, not only are they responsible for the leak, they're responsible for the 3 million dead people across the world and the nearly 600,000 dead people in the United States. And yet, there's a certain lack of curiosity when it comes to our media and the lab leak theory and the Chinese cover-up. A complete lack of curiosity. For example, Dr. Ezekiel Emanuel, who is an advisor to Joe Biden and a former health policy advisor in the Obama administration, he was on MSNBC saying, who cares how it happened? Why does it matter? The answer is, if you want to stop this from happening in the future, maybe we should know how it happened. Also, you might want to punish the government that hid it for months. Here is Zeke Emanuel being an idiot.
We need all the data and we need transparency. And we do need the Chinese to participate because, you know, the real issue is not how did this happen? The real issue is how do we protect ourselves from the next pandemic, and how do we have a kind of early warning system for whether it's naturally occurring or a laboratory leak? We still need to protect ourselves so we don't have 3, 4, 5, 10 million people die unnecessarily.
Well, one of the ways that you protect yourself is by finding out whether Chinese labs were engaged in the sort of sloppiness that allows a deadly virus to leak from the lab. And then maybe you don't fund them. And then maybe you don't trust the Chinese when they tell you there's no human-to-human transmission. The amazing lack of curiosity on the part of these public health experts is shocking, except for the fact that anything that doesn't abide by their agenda is just ignored by them, which is why we spent a year with social media shutting down any sort of speculation about the lab leak theory. Now and now only is Facebook deciding, oh yeah, I guess you can talk about that publicly now. Pretty incredible stuff. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Patrick Foss. Authorities say the San Jose rail yard shooter had stockpiled guns and ammo at his home.
New information was disclosed Friday about the gunman who killed 9 co-workers at a California rail yard Wednesday before taking his own life as sheriff's deputies moved in. The Santa Clara County Sheriff's Office said in a statement, investigators found 12 guns and 25,000 rounds of ammunition at Samuel James Cassidy's house. In addition, there were multiple cans of gasoline and suspected Molotov cocktails. The cash was on top of the 3 9mm handguns and 32 high-capacity magazines the 57-year-old Cassidy took to the Santa Clara Valley Transportation Authority in San Jose. Authorities say the guns Cassidy used in his deadly rampage appear to have been legal. I'm Mike Gracia.
House Republicans are calling for a congressional investigation into the origins of COVID-19.
The letter from 209 House Republicans, led by Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, Minority Whip Steve Scalise, and Republican Conference Chairwoman Elise Stefanik, demands House Speaker Nancy Pelosi allow a congressional probe into the virus's origins. President Biden ordered the intelligence community Wednesday to redouble their efforts to find the definitive conclusion on the virus's origins and gave them 90 days to report back. The Republicans wrote to Pelosi, House Republicans have consistently called on you to uncover the truth. It is time you join this battle. Bernie Bennett, Washington.
Another round of severe thunderstorms will be possible through Saturday in central to south Texas. Very large hail, damaging winds, and even a few thunderstorms will be possible. Flash flooding concerns remain possible for Austin. All three of President Biden's nominees to the governing board of the U.S. Postal Service have been approved by the Senate. That will strengthen Democratic influence over the agency as its leaders move to overhaul mail operations. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Through generations of fighting, anger, and pain, the Israeli-Palestinian conflict is still one of the most contentious and misunderstood issues of our time, raising the question, is it possible to truly love your enemy? In the new film, Hope in the Holy Land, filmmaker Todd Moorhead discovers the truth behind the headlines and misinformation with personal stories from Jews, Muslims, and Christians in their own words, offering a beautifully produced, politically nuanced, and morally sensitive look at both sides of the conflict. Bishop Kenneth Ulmer says the movie is embarrassingly enlightening. Ambassador Michael Oren calls it a candid, courageous journey through the complexities of the conflict. Hope in the Holy Land takes an honest look at the history and history in the making as you've never seen before. Don't miss Hope in the Holy Land, available now at salemnow.com. Watch this film and pass it on. Go to salemnow.com today.
There may be hope for lung cancer patients.
U.S. regulators have approved the first medicine for patients with the most common type of lung cancer, whose tumors have a genetic mutation long considered untreatable with drugs. The Food and Drug Administration on Friday says it's approved Amgen's drug Lumakras for non-small cell lung cancer patients with the mutation whose cancer worsened after initial treatment with different drugs. This is the first targeted therapy for tumors with a so-called CRAS mutation, which affects cell growth and division and is found in many cancer types. Keith Peters reporting.
California District Attorney won't seek a new death sentence against Scott Peterson, convicted in 2005 of murdering his pregnant wife, Lacey. In the filing Friday, the Stanislaus County District Attorney's Office said it would drop efforts to restore the death penalty. This is townhall.com. NBA players want more protection from fans.
The New York Knicks, Philadelphia 76ers, and Utah Jazz all say they have banned fans after incidents in their respective arenas. The Knicks banned a fan they said spit on Atlanta guard Trae Young. And the 76ers not only banned but revoked the season ticket membership from the fan who threw popcorn on Washington guard Russell Westbrook. The Jazz said three fans were banned for a verbal altercation. The league says that it will vigorously enforce rules surrounding fan conduct. John Scott reporting.
Jordan Spieth has the lead close to home at Colonial, while PGA champion Phil Mickelson is going home. Spieth had another bogey-free round Friday at Colonial at 4 under 66 to take the lead alone at 11 under 129. Mickelson missed the cut by one stroke at 2 over after bogeys on two of his last three holes. The 50-year-old had just won the PGA championship last weekend. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Patrick Foss.
Did the Redding summer heat put a toll on your vehicle? Is your paint faded, peeling, or even scratched up? It'll get worse faster than you think. You may think it's way too expensive to have painted. Well, think again. You can bring it to Maaco here in Redding and get a professional paint job and save big with their $4.99 special. Maaco also has interest-free loans for up to a year OAC. Maaco, America's Body Shop, 3045 Crossroads Drive. Uh-oh. Better call Maaco. 226-0992. Have you been involved in a minor accident and find it's not big enough to go through your insurance company? Bring it to Maaco and get it fixed at a fraction of the cost. Remember, it's your choice where you go to have your vehicle repaired. Call Maaco for uncompromised quality, quick turnaround times, and all work backed by the National Maaco Warranty. Maaco, America's Body Shop. Stop in at 3045 Crossroads Drive or call 226-0992. Uh-oh. Better call Maaco, 226-0992.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Today's show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. I protect my data with VPN, so should you. Visit expressvpn.com/Ben to learn more. Alrighty, so, according to the New York Times, now, only now, is it being revealed that apparently the United States has unexamined intelligence to pour over on the origins of the Wuhan virus. Weird. Weird. So, basically, CNN reported 2 days ago that the Biden administration had shut down a Pompeo-led State Department investigation under Trump into the origins of the Wuhan virus. And within 2 days, and one day after Joe Biden announces that there will be a 90-day investigation by the intelligence community of the origins of the COVID-19 virus, whether it was leaked from a Chinese lab by accident, one day afterward, there's an article in the New York Times saying, oh yeah, by the way, we've got some evidence. Weird. Why wasn't this leaked, you know, before Biden revived interest? Strange. Here says the New York Times, President Biden's call for a 90-day sprint to understand the origins of the coronavirus pandemic came after intelligence officials told the White House they had a raft of still unexamined evidence that required additional computer analysis that might shed light on the mystery, according to senior administration officials. Oh, is it that he made the decision after the IC came to him and mentioned that they had this information? Or is it that Joe Biden got pressured into restoring the investigation because the public began to recognize that, hey, maybe we should have investigated this rather than just shutting it down for a year? The officials declined to describe the new evidence, but the revelation that they are hoping to apply an extraordinary amount of computer power to the question of whether the virus accidentally leaked from a Chinese laboratory suggests the government may not have exhausted its database of Chinese communications, the movement of lab workers, and the pattern of the outbreak of the disease around the city of Wuhan. In addition to marshaling scientific resources, Mr. Biden's push is intended to prod American allies and intelligence agencies to mine existing information, like intercepts, witnesses, or biological evidence, as well as hunt for new intelligence to determine whether the Chinese government covered up an accidental leak. Biden commented on Thursday he committed to making the results of the review public. He added, unless there's something I'm unaware of. I don't even know what that's supposed to mean. I mean, I presume there's a lot that he's unaware of, since he's aware of very few things, being a barely animate object. His call for the study has both domestic and international political ramifications. It prompted his critics to argue that the president had dismissed the possibility that the lab was the origin until the Chinese government this week rejected allowing further investigations by the WHO. And administration officials said the White House hopes American allies will contribute more vigorously to a serious exploration of the theory. I mean, honestly, what flipped? The answer is, what flipped is that Americans of all sorts of political orientations began to say, hey, wait a second, maybe this was a lab leak. And that was after a year of Facebook and Twitter shutting down any speculation on this because you couldn't mention this during Trump. How many things were we not allowed to mention during Trump? I mean, seriously, it was like so many things you weren't allowed to mention. So you weren't allowed to say that the vaccines would be ready by November. The media completely downplayed that possibility. They said that was not true because Trump. You weren't allowed to mention Hunter Biden because of Trump. But later you could announce that, oh, yeah, Hunter Biden was under federal investigation. You're apparently not allowed to mention the lab leak theory because Trump had mentioned it, and that meant it was bad. How many stories got buried just because Trump was the person who was president of the United States at the time? The answer is a lot. Now, of course, the Biden administration is reviving the lab leak hypothesis. That's, again, after a year of them pressuring the Democrats, pressuring social media to shut down disseminations of that very theory. According to the New York Post, on Wednesday, Facebook revised its policy of banning posts suggesting the coronavirus was man-made because the COVID situation is evolving, as a spokesman told Politico. So literally the minute that Biden flipped on it, so did Facebook. The coordination, strange. Almost as though Facebook is working hand in glove with Democrats and doing exactly what Democrats want in quashing quote-unquote misinformation. And by misinformation, Facebook and the rest of its friends mean whatever the Democrats don't like. I mean, I can tell you, we see the internal traffic statistics on our website, and whenever we post a piece of data that some fact checker says is wrong, even if it's right, right, even if we say, for example, that Black Lives Matter supports Hamas, because they do, they literally tweeted out Free Palestine in the middle of the Hamas-Israel war. The only group at war with Israel at the time was Hamas. Right? We got fact-checked. They didn't just say lacks context. They didn't just say it's arguable. They said outright false, which is an amazing statement. It's an amazing statement. Right? It's like saying that if you believe that Hamas is bad, that you're pro-Israel, that's false. No, why is that false? That's true. Okay, but Facebook will knock down your traffic if you say something that one of the fact checkers doesn't like, and all the fact checkers are a bunch of Democratic hacks. And so now, the flip-flop comes more than a year after the social media giant banned a well-reasoned New York Post opinion column by China scholar Stephen Mosher. If you were Xi Jinping and you wanted to deploy an information control operation over the origins of COVID-19, you couldn't have done better than let Facebook do its thing. It's worth returning to what Mosher wrote to see how shameful Facebook censorship was, says the New York Post. For starters, note that Mosher didn't definitively claim that COVID-19 had leaked from a lab. What he argued instead is that a lab leak should be plausible to anyone familiar with Chinese realities. He pointed out that Xi himself had, in the early days of the crisis, warned about lab safety as a national security priority. That following Xi's guidance, the Chinese Ministry of Science and Technology released a new directive titled Instructions on Strengthening Biosecurity Management in Microbiology Labs that handle advanced viruses like the novel coronavirus. The Middle Kingdom has only one level 4 microbiology lab that can handle deadly coronaviruses, and that was located at the epicenter of the epidemic. Facebook knew that the experts didn't like it, and so they cut it down. People treated you as a conspiracy nut if you suggested an accidental lab leak. Instead, what they did is they lied about what you said, right? They said that Tom Cotton said it was a militarized, weaponized virus by the Chinese unleashed on the world as opposed to a lab leak. That's not what Cotton said. So people just lied about it and quashed it. But now, as the poll statistics change, and as Americans begin to believe that this was, in fact, unleashed accidentally from a lab in Wuhan, then all of a sudden Biden changes, and then Facebook does the bidding of the Biden administration. Pretty incredible. We'll get to more on this in just 1 second. First, as we were talking about, big tech, not a fan of free speech. So why would you give them your data so they can monetize you while quashing your free speech? Does it make sense the same company that controls half of online retail also eavesdrop on your private conversations at home? What about the idea that a single company controls 90% of internet searches, runs your email service, and gets to track everything you do on your smartphone? Big tech is more powerful than most countries are. They profit by exploiting your personal data. It's time to put a layer of protection between your online activity and these tech juggernauts. That is why I use ExpressVPN. Think about how much of your data is on the internet. Like, your entire life is on the internet. But when you run ExpressVPN on your device, the software will hide your IP address. That's the stuff big tech uses to personally identify you. So ExpressVPN makes your activity harder to trace and sell to advertisers. ExpressVPN also encrypts 100% of your internet data to keep you safe from hackers and eavesdroppers on your network. And ExpressVPN does all of that without slowing your connection. What I like most about ExpressVPN is how easy it is to use. Download the app on your phone or computer, tap one button, and now you're protected. So stop handing over your personal data to the big tech monopoly that mines your activity and sells your info. Protect yourself with the VPN I trust to keep me safe online. Visit expressvpn.com/Ben. That's expressvpn.com/Ben. Get 3 extra months free when you do. expressvpn.com/Ben right now to learn more. Okay, so by the way, the polling data shows that Americans have shifted on this thing. According to Hannah Blue, writing for Breitbart, most voters believe it is now likely the Chinese coronavirus originated in a Chinese lab, according to a Rasmussen report. The survey, conducted May 25th to 26th, among 900 likely U.S. voters, asked how likely is it COVID-19 originated in a Chinese lab. 68% said the scenario was likely. 43% very, very likely. 25% somewhat likely. That includes a majority of Democrats and Republicans and independents. And voters think it's important to actually check into this. That is why Joe Biden shifted here. It's not because Joe Biden saw new information. It's because the public began to realize that they had been lied to by the quote-unquote experts. And again, they only launched the idea of an independent investigation in the last 2 days, after explicitly rejecting it earlier this week and saying they trusted the WHO. Now the New York Times is shifting on this. On the heels of President Biden's abrupt order to U.S. intelligence agencies to investigate the origins of COVID, many scientists reacted positively, reflecting their push in recent weeks for more information about the work of a virus lab in Wuhan, but they cautioned against expecting an answer in the 3-month time frame of the president's request. After long steering clear of the debate, some influential scientists have lately become more open to expressing uncertainties about the origins of the virus. What changed? Could it be that Trump isn't president anymore? That's what changed? Because if it turned out that this was China's fault, then it wasn't Trump's fault? Could that be? We all know what this was. In the beginning, there was a lot of pressure against speaking up because it was tied to conspiracies and Trump supporters, said Akiko Awasaki, immunologist at Yale. There was very little rational discussion going on in the beginning. Wait a sec. Why would that have anything to do with Trump? If you thought it was plausible that this was leaked from a lab, why did you shut up just because Trump was talking about it? We all know the answer. It's because it has nothing to do with science and everything to do with Trump. Virologists still largely lean toward the theory that infected animals spread the virus to humans outside of a lab, except that we've never found COVID-19 in any bat, ever, so far as I'm aware. China has stopped cooperating with the WHO. In February 2020, the Chinese government agreed to host a scientific mission, but it came under fire from critics because it was constructed as a cooperative study with international experts and Chinese scientists and Chinese controlled access to the data. In addition, the mission had no mandate to investigate the lab. In the early days, speculations even circulated that a Chinese biological warfare program had produced the virus. That was dismissed pretty much immediately, but that's not what Cotton claimed. But here, this is the best part. You ready? So the media have determined that if you talk about this, they're going to go right back to the well. If you talk about this, you could cause racism. If you talk about the lab leak theory, racism could result. Here's the Washington Post today. Quote, Facebook's reversal on banning claims that COVID-19 is man-made could unleash more anti-Asian sentiment. Oh, so just to get this straight, they are afraid that if you point out that a virus unleashed from a Chinese lab accidentally and then covered up by the Chinese government for 3 months is covered, if you cover that and you allow that information to be disseminated, people could get mean to Asian people for no reason. And this is just the commonplace excuse by the quote-unquote experts these days. Your free speech is a threat to somebody else because some idiot could take that free speech and then use it as impetus to do a bad thing. That's true of every statement in human life. Except with regard to the media, to anti-Semitism. If you say stuff that is overtly anti-Semitic, that definitely will not cause an uptick in anti-Semitism, ever. You have to just allow that stuff out there. But every other group, apparently, if you say things that are patently true, overtly and clearly true, and they are just facts, but somebody could misinterpret the fact and then use it as an excuse to do a bad thing, then it's your fault and we should shut down the information. So they're literally, first of all, I don't know why it would create more anti-Asian sentiment to point out the Chinese government is responsible for this than saying that it was some random dude eating a bat from a wet market in Wuhan. Like, why? According to the Washington Post, however, as the U.S. reopens a debate into the origins of the novel coronavirus, Facebook reversed its course Thursday and said it would no longer remove posts that claim the virus is man-made. The decision is notable because it shows once again how social media giants struggle to strike the right balance between protecting the public from harmful misinformation and enabling robust discussion of controversial ideas. Or, you know, you could just enable robust discussion. The claim that a coronavirus is man-made, long dismissed by the scientific community as a harmful conspiracy, has recently been reopened because of new findings. But the reopening of debate presents challenging issues for Facebook because the claim has also been associated with a wave of anti-Asian sentiment. This is how we're going to do this now. Basically, if the left doesn't like a piece of information, it's incitement. You knew this was, they've been saying this for a while, so this is nothing new. It's just extended to virtually every story ever, including Facebook allowing you to talk about things that could very plausibly be true. When it comes to anti-Semitism, different story. We'll get to that in just 1 second. First, you could be paying a lot less for your home every month. This is a true statement. Interest rates right now are still in the twos. They're not going to be this low forever, so you have to act right now. Call American Financing. Get a free mortgage review. There's no obligation, no pressure, no upfront or hidden fees. Just a simple conversation around which loan program might be a better fit. They want you to have the best rate and the lowest monthly payment possible. They really are in it for you. That is why they follow a consultative approach, helping you understand options before customizing a loan for you. And let me tell you, they have access to countless programs, so you are certain to find the right fit. Many of their customers are saving up to $1,000 a month. Why not see what they can do for you? Call American Financing right now at 866-721-3300. That is 866-721-3300 or visit AmericanFinancing.net. NMLS 182334, NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Go check them out right now. Your biggest monthly bill, probably your mortgage, because that's true for virtually everybody. Why not save a bunch of money on it? Go to AmericanFinancing.net right now to get started or give them a call at 866-721-3300. That is 866-721-3300. Alrighty, coming up, another anti-Semitic beating, this time in Las Vegas. And Rutgers University says, well, we're not going to condemn anti-Semitism anymore. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The IRS, the world's most aggressive collection agency. They can seize your property, bank account, and garnish your wages. They cause sleepless nights for millions of Americans. Don't be one of them. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, get protected today. Call 800-312-9970. Coast One Tax Group, protecting your bank, home, and your sleep since 2008. With hundreds of five-star reviews and an A-plus on the Better Business Bureau. Call Coast One Tax Group, 800-312-9970. Stanley from New York owed $93,000. The IRS placed a levy on his bank account. Coast One released the levy and settled with the IRS for $2,000. Mark in Michigan owed $225,000. After Coast One stepped in, Mark walked away paying less than $1,500. Call Coast One now. A 10-minute call can save you up to 93% on your back taxes. Get your fresh start today. That's 800-312-9970.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
Last Tuesday, someone broke into my car and robbed me blind. Or at least that's what would have happened if I didn't have Vivint. Instead, my Vivint Outdoor Camera Pro detected him and scared him away with a light and a whistle.
Want peace of mind? Stop crime before it happens with a Vivint system. Vivint, all is well. Call 833-420-4070 to get started today. That's 833-420-4070.
Poor Sam was a mess. Always itching, licking. His paws were soaking wet. He had bald spots on his back.
DINOVITE.com.
2 weeks after he started Dynavite, I started seeing great improvements. And today, 99% of his issues are non-existent.
Dynavite is nutrition.
Dynavite is the best thing you can do for your dog.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
I get my Dynavite from DINOVITE.com.
My daughter Brinley is here at St. Jude. Coming here was literally life or death and so scary. But St. Jude is fighting for one goal, like this one mission, life. And that gave us hope. We haven't received a single bill from St. Jude, so I really can just focus on what's best for Brinley.
Finding cures, saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, there's another anti-Semitic beating, this time in Las Vegas. According to NBC New York, A New York City EMT says he became a victim of anti-Jewish violence while on vacation with his family. On Monday, he and his wife and adult son were visiting Vegas. They stopped for a coffee by the MGM casino. They encountered another family who sparked up a conversation. The other man, who identified himself as Sam, according to Paul Leibowitz, who's the EMT, said he was from Palestine. Leibowitz said, I said, it turns out I'm from Palestine also. We were having an amicable disagreeing conversation, but it quickly got heated because this guy said, your people are not going to exist anymore. And he said, can you tell me what that means, my people? And the other man replied, the Jews, they're not going to exist anymore. And Leibowitz said, well, you can Google it. Jews have been around for thousands of years. And that is when the banter apparently turned violent. He screamed out baby killers, and then he pushes his hand into my face, pushing me backwards. I fell flat on my head, back part of my head, smacked on the floor. Apparently, he suffered a concussion. Leibowitz said he screamed for others to call 911. He called himself. He said he and his family tried to follow the attacker and his family to get help from the cops and even flagged down an officer. The police report said it was battery. He said it's not just battery, it's a hate crime. But the police are just investigating it as a battery at the moment. Let's just put it this way. If there were another race involved, this would be a hate crime investigation, like right off the bat. Okay, but let's be real about this. One of the things that has happened when it comes to the left is that the left has basically decided that anti-Semitism is okay so long as it is coming from people who hate Israel. As long as you cover your anti-Semitism with anti-Zionism, it's totally fine. As long as you say that the real reason that you hate Jews is because Jews are in Israel and Israel is a Jewish state, you're totally cool. And now they're even saying the quiet part out loud. This is an unbelievable story out of Rutgers University. So Dr. Christopher J. Malloy is chancellor of the university, Rutgers University, New Brunswick. Dr. Francine Conway, provost and executive vice chancellor for research and academic affairs, sent a message to their students on Wednesday that spoke out against the widely reported increase in hate crimes against Jews. Their original email said this, quote, recent incidents of hate directed toward Jewish members of our community again remind us of what history has to teach us. Tragically, in the last century alone, acts of prejudice and hatred left unaddressed have served as the foundation for many atrocities against targeted groups around the world. If you have been adversely impacted by anti-Semitic or any other discriminatory incidents in our community, please do not hesitate to reach out to our counseling and other support services on campus. Our behavioral health team stands ready to support you through these challenging times. The email said, quote, we have also been witnesses to the increasing violence between Israeli forces and Hamas in the Middle East, leading to the deaths of children and adults and mass displacement of citizens in the Gaza region and the loss of lives in Israel. Okay, so they didn't even take sides between Israel and Hamas. They just said anti-Semitism is bad. Now, they've issued a letter apologizing for the first letter condemning anti-Semitism, and it's so telling. The reason is because they are afraid that if they condemn anti-Semitism and they don't condemn Israel, then all of the anti-Israel haters who hate Jews are going to be offended. They're admitting, this is the quiet part being admitted out loud, that hatred of Israel and hatred of Jews are 99% of the time intertwined. And that anti-Semitism deriving from hatred of Israel is okay with the left. It's fine. So long as you just say it's about Israel. So if you clock a random Jew in Brooklyn while saying it's about Israel, you're fine. In fact, depending on your status in the intersectional hierarchy, if you just clock a random Jew in Brooklyn, you're fine. Period. Without even giving an excuse. As we know from years of people being beaten on the streets of Williamsburg, and so long as they are of minority descent, you're fine. The email obtained by the Daily Caller apologized to the university's Palestinian community members and said that the message condemning anti-Semitism, quote, fell short. In hindsight, it is clear to us that the message failed to communicate support for our Palestinian community members, said the message. We sincerely apologize for the hurt that this message has caused. What in the actual world? But we know, right? Why were Palestinians upset? Because if you condemn anti-Semitism, and it's the Palestinians doing anti-Semitism, then, de facto, you might hurt Palestinian feelings. On campus, on the left, they are so afraid of offending Palestinian anti-Semites that they are willing to overlook the anti-Semitism. And by the way, this is a worldwide phenomenon. Yeah, the Rutgers University statement, by the way, went on. They said, our diversity must be supported by equity, inclusion, anti-racism, and the condemnation of all forms of bigotry and hatred, including anti-Semitism and Islamophobia. As I've said before, the conflation of anti-Semitism and Islamophobia is really about suggesting that if you are pro-Israel, you're an Islamophobe. So if you get clocked for being pro-Israel, it's not anti-Semitism. It is because you actually hate Muslims. That's why. Okay, but again, the discrimination and apartheid-like hatred of the Palestinian Authority, Fatah, Hamas, Islamic Jihad for Jews, goes completely overlooked by the world media Because again, so long as you're ripping on Israel and you can pretend that your anti-Semitism is actually just about hating Israel, you're fine. So for example, have you heard, you know, there's a lot of talk about Temple Mount. Oh, the Jews on the Temple Mount. As I've mentioned, I've been up there. The Islamic Waqf runs the Temple Mount. Jews are allowed up there only with heavy guard, and you're not allowed to pray out loud if you're a Jew. Meanwhile, the Dome of the Rock and Al-Aqsa Mosque are open to Muslims all the time, and you can pray however much you want. But Jews are restricted from prayer on the Temple Mount, and have been. I mean, it's only a recent development they're even allowed up there. So Mahmoud Abbas, the supposedly tolerant head of the Palestinian Authority, who is in fact a terrorist supporter, and is being funded by the United States and promoted by the Biden administration. You know what he said the other day? He said, if you want peace, Israel has to bar Jews from the Temple Mount. So we're being told Israel's an apartheid state. Meanwhile, the Palestinian Authority, the moderates, are calling for Jews to be explicitly barred from the holiest site in Judaism. But don't worry, there's not only moral equivalence. Israel is the bad guy. And if you're pro-Israel, probably you getting beat in the street ain't about anti-Semitism. It's just, you know, a political thing. Alrighty, coming up, we'll be joined by Jason Riley of the Wall Street Journal to talk about Thomas Sowell and his new biography. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
High Noble Safe Company, formerly known as Cold Steel Safe Company at 2559 Larkspur Lane, offers only the highest quality safes, delivery, moving, and repair service available. They carry several brands, including High Noble, Browning, and American Security, just to name a few. High Noble has gun safes, home safes, and high security safes with stores in Reading, Roseville, and Petaluma. Call 530-223-5050. That's 530-223-5050. Or stop by High Noble Safe Company at 2559 Larkspur Lane today.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at estategranite.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Patricia Bay, and my radio show, Therapy in a Nutshell, which airs on Saturdays at 11 a.m., on KCNR, 1460 AM, or 96.5 FM, is a great show for you to listen to and learn how to effectively change your life. We talk about issues such as communication and trust, couples issues, and many more. Also, you can listen to the radio show on my podcast through the Anchor app, which is free and safe, or you can tune into the iTunes or Spotify podcast and listen to it there. It's a nice show that'll help you throughout the day and throughout your life. So join me for Therapy in a Nutshell, Saturdays, 11 a.m. at KCNR Radio. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, trying to heal the world 1 hour at a time. You get me
every time. Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has the chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Fire and Destruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Memorial Day is May 31st, a day set aside to honor those who have sacrificed for our freedom. I'm Rob Burrows, reminding you there will not be a live service at the Igo Veterans Cemetery, but the cemetery will be open for visitors. There will not be a live service at Reading Memorial Park, but there will be a live service on the Reading Memorial Park Facebook page at 10 a.m., honoring our veterans and those who sacrificed for our freedom. The Northern California Veterans Museum offices at 2110 North Street in Anderson will be open to the public from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. for visitors, following current guidelines for safety. From all of us at the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, thank you for honoring our veterans and their sacrifices this Memorial Day weekend. For more information, call the museum office at 378-2280. That's 378-2280. On behalf of all of us at the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, I want to say thank you for honoring our veterans.
9550.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Joining us on the line is Jason Riley, senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute, columnist for the Wall Street Journal. He's the author of a bunch of previous bestsellers, including Please Stop Helping Us, How Liberals Make It Harder for Blacks to Succeed. Most recently, a great book titled Maverick, a biography of Thomas Sowell, one of my intellectual heroes. Jason, thanks so much for joining the program. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
So first of all, thank you for writing the book, because Thomas Sowell is one of the most underappreciated public intellectuals of the latter half of the 20th century. And it is truly incredible how the media have chosen to ignore him in a way they simply would not if he had been on the political left.
Oh, absolutely. I guess, to use today's expression, he was canceled a long time ago. He was someone that media elites, intellectual elites, the academy and so forth decided should not be taken seriously, should be ignored. Was unrepresentative of blacks and black thought on many issues involving race and culture and so forth. So you're right. He's someone who should be much better known than the likes of an Ibram Kendi or a Nicole Hannah Jones or Cornel West or Ta-Nehisi Coates. And I think it's a shame, that he isn't, because, he's not only written circles around those folks, maybe all of them put together, in terms of the wide ranging aspect of his research, but just the rigor and depth of his thinking really pales. I mean, theirs really pales in comparison to what Tom has done. So one of the reasons I wanted to write the book is because I think he should be much better known.
And Jason, one of the things that really is amazing is when you read the writings of some of the people that you've mentioned, so much of it is deliberately purple and vague. It's like covering for lack of logic with just very colorful writing about terrible historical circumstances without actually attempting to make any sort of rigorous argument. Sowell's writing is precisely the opposite. He's consistently attempting to make rigorous arguments that make fundamental and deep distinctions that really matter in how we think. I mean, I've been using his logical models on this show and in my own writing for years and years, and yet it's just that sort of logic and rigor is not demanded from public intellectuals these days, and when they provide it, it's, as we say, ignored.
You're absolutely right. Tom is what's called an empiricist, and he came out of that Chicago School of Economics that was known for empiricism, for logic and data and following facts to their logical conclusion. And in this school of thought, theories matter less than what actually happens in the real world. Intentions don't matter as much as real outcomes. And that is what Sowell is constantly in search of and constantly looking at. And, I think that his clear thinking, his clear writing is one of the things that appeal to him, to so many people. He's a deeply learned person, but wears it very lightly in his prose style. Most of his books are written for general interest readers. They're not written for his fellow intellectuals. And I think that's something he picked up on from people like Milton Friedman, one of his mentors at the University of Chicago, who, after leaving teaching himself, went about writing books that people in the general public could understand. And Friedman really thought it was the duty of a scholar and an intellectual not just to speak to their peers, but to be able to explain themselves to people who aren't steeped in the discipline. And, you know, Tom's best-selling book is Basic Economics, which is basically an economics textbook without any graphs or charts in it. And I think he's taken a lot of pride in being able to explain these concepts to people who aren't steeped in the discipline. And I think he's very much appreciated for that.
So, Jason, for folks who don't know Thomas Sowell's sort of backstory, where did Thomas Sowell come from?
Well, Tom is going to be 91 years old in June. So he's been around quite a while. He was born in 1930, Depression era, Jim Crow South in North Carolina outside of Charlotte. He was orphaned as a child. His father died before he was born, and his mother died giving birth to a younger brother. So Tom never knew either of his parents. He was raised by a distant relative who moved the family north to Harlem when Tom was about 9 years old. So he was raised in Harlem. But he had a rather difficult home life. He was a bright student, but the home life was pretty chaotic, and he ended up dropping out of high school, leaving home at the age of 17, and he was sort of wandering around for a few years. Finally, he was drafted into the Marines during the Korean War, and that sort of shaped him up a little bit. And after college, or he was able to go to college on the GI Bill because of his stint in the Marines. He went to night school at Howard University, the black school in D.C. first, and then he transferred to Harvard, where he got his undergraduate degree. He was 28 years old before he got an undergraduate degree. And it's amazing, given how prolific he's been, what a late start he got. He didn't write his first book until he was 40. I mean, a lot of people don't realize just how late a start Sowell got. So after Harvard, he went on to Columbia and then the University of Chicago to earn his PhD. And then he taught in the academy in the 1960s and 70s. He taught at Cornell, at Brandeis, at Amherst, at UCLA, and a number of other institutions. And that's what he was doing in the 1960s and 70s. And then in 1980, he joined the Hoover Institution, which is at Stanford University. And that's where he's been ever since.
So, Jason, one of the things that is so amazing about that story is that obviously that's a story of tremendous progress in America that wouldn't be achievable anywhere else. But also he was dealing, I'm sure, as you mentioned, you grew up in the Jim Crow South, with actual, honest to goodness, harsh interpersonal racism for a great deal of his young life. And yet his vision of America has never, as he expresses it in his work, has never been of America as either perfect or as evil. It's been that America's principles are good and funded in individual rights, and that human beings are sinful and terrible and very often hurt each other. He never succumbed to sort of the bitterness that you see in a lot of writing from people who, by the way, have never experienced one tenth of the sort of discrimination that Sowell had to go through in his actual life.
Yes, you're right. He's someone who felt that America's system of government and free market capitalism in particular offered the best hope for people from his background. And his writings, I think, have made that point over and over again, that whatever flaws we have here, you have to say compared to what? And the fact of the matter is that in no place do you have the opportunities that are offered to people with his background, let alone everyone else, to rise. And he's studied, you know, one of the reasons he got into economics is because he wanted to he said, understand the world around him, and economics helped him do that. And, you know, he started out on the left, like a lot of blacks of that period did, and frankly, like a lot of black conservatives did, or a lot of conservatives in general. You know, Ronald Reagan, Milton Friedman, all started on the left. So it's not uncommon. But among black intellectuals, it's interesting how far to the left they started. You know, Clarence Thomas was a Black Panther. Walter Williams was far more sympathetic to the views of Malcolm X than Martin Luther King. And again, Tom was a Marxist well into his 20s. Even after studying under Milton Friedman at Chicago, Tom was still a Marxist. And it took a job in government for him to really reevaluate socialism. And he was working at the Department of Labor and studying minimum wage laws and their impact on employment. And he said that these are harmful to the employment prospects, particularly of disadvantaged minorities. And it helped him rethink not only his Marxism, but socialism in general and the role of government. And that's what really turned him to free markets and away from socialism. So it was a journey for him.
We're speaking with Jason Riley. He's the author of a brand new book on Thomas Sowell titled Maverick, a biography of Thomas Sowell. So one of the things, Jason, that really strikes me about reading Sowell is how brave he is in taking on topics that nobody else will take on. He recently wrote one of his shorter books. His books have gotten to be kind of single topic and shorter so that they are more digestible for folks, as opposed to Basic Economics, which now the revised version can run 400 pages. He'll write Disparity and Discrimination, and that'll run 150 pages, and it'll be on a topic that is sort of well contained. He'll write about topics that people are simply afraid to talk about. The importance of his bravery is really understated, I think.
You're absolutely right, and what you're describing there with his writings on discrimination are part of a larger point he's made about the all-purpose use of prejudice and bias and racism and discrimination to explain different outcomes in society among different groups. And he says that is a very flawed way of analyzing outcomes and results, because it's based on this presumption that the natural state of things is evenness in outcomes. That human capital is dispersed among groups evenly, and therefore we should always see at least proportional results in terms of race and gender and ethnicity and so forth, and income and educational attainment and so forth. And Tom says, no, that is a flawed premise from which to analyze these things. People that have looked at societies down through history, nowhere do they find this evenness of outcomes that we hold up as the norm. In fact, the norm is unevenness in outcomes. Disproportionate outcomes, in fact, are the norm. And he also talks about how the tendency, particularly among progressives, to latch on to one factor in that might be driving disparate outcomes and make it the factor. So you go back 100 years to the progressive era, and the explanation was genetics. That is why different groups have different outcomes. It's in the genes. It's hereditary. That gets you to the eugenics movement and so on. Woodrow Wilson's thinking and things like that. You fast forward to today, and progressives tell us discrimination is the factor that is explaining disparate outcomes we have today. And again, it's taking one factor and making it the factor, not what, you know, and just presuming that it is so, not presenting any hard evidence or really making an argument, but just presuming that is the case and brooking no dissent from that point of view. And Tom has written volumes about how flawed that type of thinking is, yet it continues to drive our debates where we see disparate outcomes. Oh, something evil must be going on because the natural state of things is proportionate outcomes. And Tom says, no, but you're right about his bravery in writing about these things. You know, Tom was an economic historian. He was someone who studied the classical liberal economists, you know, Adam Smith and John Stuart Mill. And that was what he, you know, got his degrees in, the history of economic thought, the history of ideas. And that was really his focus in much of the 60s and 70s in terms of the scholarship. Beginning in the 70s, he started to turn his attention to race because he looked at the direction of the civil rights movement. He thought that they were going off in the wrong direction in a number of areas. And he said, someone's got to say this. He says, and too few other people are willing to do it, but someone's got to speak up. And so he felt it was almost a duty to weigh in on these controversial issues, like affirmative action and so forth. And that's why he did it. He said, no one's talking about this stuff. Someone's got to pipe up about it, and it might as well be me.
Well, Jason Riley doing a lot of the same work over at the Wall Street Journal and at the Manhattan Institute. Check out his new biography of Thomas Sowell titled Maverick. Jason, really appreciate the time. It's a fantastic book.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
All righty. Coming up, we're going to be talking with a girl who is racing in Connecticut. She's one of the best runners in Connecticut. Unfortunately, she's not as good as boys who think they're girls. And now she's being censored by USA Today for that particular perspective. We'll get to that in just 1 second. First, let's talk about the fact you're spending too much money on your cell phone bill. Right now, if you're with AT&T, Verizon, T-Mobile, switching to Pure Talk USA will save you cash. In fact, Pure Talk saves the average family of four over $800 a year. Here's the best part. You don't have to sacrifice coverage because it's on the exact same network as one of the big providers. Switching is easy. You can keep your phone, keep your number, or get huge discounts on the latest iPhones and Androids. Right now, you can get unlimited talk, text, and 6 gigs of data for just $30 a month. If you go over on data, they're not going to charge you for it. It's just one of the many reasons they've been named the top wireless provider by Consumer Affairs. From your cell phone, dial #250, say Ben Shapiro. You will save 50% off your very first month. That is #250, say Ben Shapiro to get started. Again, when you talk to your cell phone provider, very often they will sort of fib to you. They'll tell you that you need all this stuff. You don't. What you need is what Pure Talk USA gives you. Unlimited talk, text, 6 gigs of data for $30 a month. And again, if you go over, they're not going to charge you for it. So you got nothing to lose. From your cell phone, dial #250, say Ben Shapiro. You'll save 50% off your very first month. Dial #250 and say my name, Ben Shapiro, to get started. Alrighty, coming up, we'll be joined by a girl in Connecticut who races against boys. And when she wrote about this, she was censored by the USA Today. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Hello, I'm Mackenzie with Exact Data. I'm excited to share how our team can help your business with its customer acquisition goals. Exact Data has been helping businesses of all sizes find new customers for over 20 years. With over 4,000 unique filters, you're sure to find the most targeted emails, postal addresses, and phone numbers fit for your business. Want a list of new homeowners in your area or looking to reach self-employed business owners? Maybe you're looking for people passionate about charitable causes or a list of medical professionals in your area. We can help. At Exact Data, we have the perfect list to help you grow your business. For pricing, text INFO to 606-MY-LEADS. Remember, text INFO to 606-695-3237, which spells 606-MY-LEADS, and we'll reply with the information you need to get leads for your business. Again, text INFO to 606-MY-LEADS, and you'll be well on your way to reaching your sales goals. Message and data rates apply.
Are you drowning in IRS tax debt? Get ready for a toll-free hotline. Take advantage of new IRS tax forgiveness programs. Call Civic Tax Relief for free information now. Find out about the Fresh Start program that is now available through Civic Tax Relief. Civic Tax Relief's special tax hotline can help you discover all the relief programs you qualify for free. Just call 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908.
Daisy sheds like crazy. Our hairballs have hairballs.
Marquette Mama, she has dandruff and an oily coat.
DINOVITE.com.
I was thrilled when I heard Dynavite for cats was coming out.
If you love your pets as much as I do, you'll want to do what's best for them.
Dynavite is a life changer.
Lately, she's been a lot more playful, a lot more energetic, more active.
Dynavite for life.
You won't believe how happy your cat will be.
DINOVITE.com.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Joining us on the line is Chelsea Mitchell. She is a high school runner in Connecticut. She was the top high school runner in her state. And that was until they started allowing males to actually compete with her. She wrote a piece for USA Today about all this, and then USA Today decided to censor it. She's joined on the line by Christina Holcomb, legal counsel for Alliance Defending Freedom. Chelsea, thanks so much for joining the show. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
So why don't you tell us about what you said? I talked about this a little bit on the show yesterday. What you said in your USA Today column that was so egregious that they had to apologize and change words in the column.
Yeah, so basically, you know, my piece was telling my story. I, you know, competed against biological males throughout my entire high school career. I lost four state championships. I lost two All New England awards and countless other opportunities to compete and advance. And so in my story, I was talking about this, and to understand our case, it's very important to understand the biological differences between males and females. So in referring to the transgender athletes I competed against, I refer to them as biological males to make that distinction clear so that everyone understands who I'm talking about and the real problem here in Connecticut. And USA Today decided to censor it and instead change my word to transgender female instead of biological male.
Which, of course, obfuscates the entire issue. One of the things I was noting yesterday on the program is that this is basically forfeiting your case by default. That if you suggest that the word males can be substituted for transgender females, what you're basically saying is that transgender females, that this is the case that's constantly made, transgender females are females, so why would you possibly argue against transgender females arguing with you? So, racing with you. So by forcing a change in terminology into your piece, the goal is to undermine the actual argument of the piece.
Exactly. It completely changes the entire narrative of our case. And because biology is so important in sports, that's why we make that distinction. And that's why we refer to them as biological males.
I mean, it's fairly incredible. So, Christina, obviously, Chelsea has filed a case against the Connecticut Athletic Association because they have essentially abolished girls only sports here by allowing males to compete with females so long as they identify as females. Where does that case stand right now?
Well, we just yesterday appealed that case to the Second Circuit because the district court dismissed it, essentially saying that Chelsea's losses don't matter and that girls' achievements don't matter and that it's fine for biological males to come in and to dominate the girls' category. But Chelsea's exactly right. Like, the whole reason we have women's sports as a separate category is because there are obvious real physical differences between the sexes that give biological males a clear athletic advantage over female athletes.
So I'm confused as to what the original district court even said. What was the case that they made in dismissing the case, that Chelsea wasn't damaged, or that there is no distinction between transgender females and biological females?
Well, what the court essentially did was dodge the entire issue. Look, we're 14 months into this case, and the court still refused to consider the clear unfairness of forcing females to compete against biological males. And yes, essentially looked at Chelsea and the other female athletes and said, I see your losses, but they don't matter. And it's not something that's really worth fixing, which is just wrong.
So now you're appealing this to the Second Circuit Court of Appeals. Obviously, that Court of Appeals is not a particularly conservative Court of Appeals. So what do you expect to go differently there?
Well, we are appealing, and we are optimistic, because I think, you know, the physical differences between the sexes are really clear. Title IX was passed exclusively for the purpose of ensuring that females like Chelsea have equal athletic opportunities with males, like comparable opportunities that their brothers get to have in athletics and in scholarship opportunities and the like. So I am optimistic, but this is something that we will press as far as we need to.
So in light of Justice Gorsuch's radical reinterpretation of Title VII, suggesting that transgenderism is now covered by civil rights law, which is bizarre, considering, again, that Title IX is written specifically to protect biological females, not to protect biological males who identify as female. It seems like this will end up going to the Supreme Court at some level, and they're going to have to determine whether Title VII is now in conflict with Title IX.
I think it's entirely possible that this case could go to the Supreme Court, but I don't think it needs to go that far. Again, Title IX was passed based on the clear biological differences between the sexes. That was not really an issue in Bostick. And in fact, the Supreme Court in Bostick made clear that its decision was limited to the Title VII employment context. They were not considering other things like locker rooms and privacy and, you know, athletic context and all of these things. So again, I do think, especially in athletics, those biological, real physical differences between males and females are so critical to preserving the integrity of women's sports.
So, Chelsea, now you are I assume, moving on to college. And how's your college experience going?
Well, my college experience has been good so far. You know, I'm running D1 track in college, so it definitely has been a lot better and just a lot more focus on myself and focus on, you know, what I want to achieve in college rather than having to focus on having to race on an unfair playing field.
So has this reared its head with regard to the NCAA yet? Because the NCAA has its own sort of rules with regard to biological males competing with biological females now, I believe.
I have not encountered it personally. I do know there are some cases at the NCAA level. However, I mean, personally, I don't think the NCAA policy is quite in line with what we are trying to do, since, you know, hormone therapy doesn't necessarily mitigate all the advantages of biological males. However, that is not that's not what we're looking at right now. So.
Well, Chelsea Mitchell, good luck to you in the case. And again, it is astonishing that you now have mainstream media outlets that are overtly censoring pieces and changing the nature of their arguments, specifically in sensitivity to people who oppose the arguments that are being made. I've never heard of anything remotely like this, where because you're making an argument and there are people who oppose that argument, they just, on behalf of the people who oppose the argument, go in and change the language. It's kind of amazing. Have you considered telling USA Today to just pull down the column completely?
I do believe ADF published the article uncensored on their website for people to read who want to read the literal piece.
They did, and then we've read it actually out loud on the program. Really appreciate what you're doing, and thank you for your bravery on this one.
Thank you.
All righty, we have reached the end of today's Ben Shapiro Show, which means that we've reached the weekend. So we will see you here on Monday. Have a relaxing weekend. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Patrick Foss. The Senate on Friday passed a resolution calling for a probe into the origins of COVID-19 amid renewed attention over a theory that the virus came from a lab in China.
The resolution, which passed by unanimous consent and was spearheaded by Senators Roger Marshall, a Republican of Kansas, and Kristen Gillibrand, a Democrat of New York, calls for the World Health Assembly to conduct a probe into the origins of the COVID-19 pandemic. The legislation adds that if an investigation is not approved by the body, the U.S. and willing partner governments and experts will instead launch an inquiry. The resolution passage comes 2 days after the Senate approved legislation requiring the Office of the Director of National Intelligence to declassify information about the origins of COVID-19. Bernie Bennett, Washington.
Authorities say a gunman who killed 9 of his co-workers at a California rail yard had stockpiled weapons and 25,000 rounds of ammunition at his house before setting it on fire. Officials said Friday that Samuel James Cassidy had coordinated the fire to coincide with the violence Wednesday at the Santa Clara Valley Transportation Authority in San Jose. The Senate this week was quick to table an amendment from Senator Marco Rubio designed to tighten security around the billions of dollars the U.S. will spend on U.S. high tech as part of the Endless Frontier Act.
Senator Rubio says it's not enough just to spend in excess of $200 billion on vital high-tech research.
What if a year from now we find out, and you're going to read an article 2 years from now, whatever, that says the Chinese have stolen a quarter, 25, 30% of the IP developed by the money that's been put forward in the bill that was passed? Then we're all going to feel pretty stupid around here.
The Senate rejected Rubio's amendment by a vote of 55 to 40. It's expected to pass the Endless Frontier Act in early June without the added security protections. Bob Agnew reporting.
Stocks capped a listless day of trading on Wall Street with modest gains. Friday, the S&P rose 3 points. The Dow added 64. The Nasdaq gained 12. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Tell me why Relief Factor is so successful in lowering or eliminating pain. I'm often asked that question. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father and son founders of Relief Factor, tell me they believe our bodies were designed to heal. The doctors who formulated Relief Factor selected the four best ingredients, 100% drug-free ingredients that each help your body deal with inflammation. Order the 3-week quick start now. Discount it to only $19.95 to see if it will work for you too. Call 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com.
Looking for a way to pay for that new home improvement you've been waiting for? Ready to consolidate credit card debt at a lower interest rate? Figure offers multiple loan options that can help you improve your finances. From mortgage refinances to home equity lines and personal loans, Figure can help you find a loan that's right for you. Figure takes all the stress and hassle out of the process. Apply 100% online at figure.com and see your new rate in a few clicks. Figure out your finances at figure.com.
Figure Lending LLC. Equal Opportunity Lender. NMLS 1717824. Terms and conditions apply.
Police in Fairfax County, Virginia, outside of Washington, D.C., have arrested a 19-year-old and a 20-year-old in connection with the murders of a respected military couple earlier this week.
The victims, 55-year-old Army Colonel Dr. Edward McDaniel, Jr.,
and 63-year-old Army retired Colonel Brenda McDaniel were gunned down in their own front yard in Springfield, Virginia. Fairfax County, Virginia police have charged two men, Ronnie Marshall and D'Angelo Strand. They're charged with two counts of second-degree murder and firearms violations. The killings are believed to be related to an incident at the McDaniels' home, possibly an attempted burglary. Neighbors say the McDaniels were pillars of the community and their country. I'm Bill Alexander in Washington.
Another round of severe thunderstorms will be possible through Saturday in central to south Texas. Very large hail, damaging winds, and even a few tornadoes will be possible. Flash flooding concerns remain in Austin. This is townhall.com. Fiat Chrysler is recalling more than 500,000 heavy-duty Ram trucks.
The recall is to fix a problem that can cause the wheels to fall off. The recall covers certain 2012 through 2021 Ram 3500 heavy-duty pickups and Ram 4500 and 5500 chassis cab trucks. The recall vehicles are mainly in North America. The trucks have dual rear wheels and flanged lug nuts. Fiat Chrysler says some service and owner manuals had the wrong torque specifications for tightening the nuts that hold the wheels to the hubs. If the nuts were over-tightened, the wheel studs could be damaged and the wheels could come off. The company says it doesn't know of any crashes or injuries. Keith Peters reporting.
Japan has extended a coronavirus state of emergency in Tokyo and other areas for 20 more days, with infections still not slowing as it prepares to host the Summer Olympics in 50 days. Major newspapers are calling on the games to be canceled. More of these stories at townhall.com. I'm Patrick Foss.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Hey, hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Today's show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. I protect my data with VPN, so should you. Visit ExpressVPN.com/Ben. Well, one of the odd things about modern American politics is how much attention we pay to national policy. Because, I mean, it makes some sense, I guess, because the national government is so big and because it's so intrusive and because we spend so unbelievably much money. Because of all of that, people tend to focus in on national policy. And that's also true because of the rise of social media, which means that every issue is now a borders-crossing issue. Just because something happened in California doesn't mean that the next day it's not going to be tried in New York or Florida. And just because something's happening far away doesn't mean that people aren't going to get online and talk about it. Well, because of all of this, we tend to put all of our focus on national politics. But the reality is that for most Americans, what happens on a day-to-day level is stuff that is happening in their local communities. And when we examine what has been happening to America's major cities over the course of the last 10 years, it is utterly appalling. I mean, truly, it's one of the reasons why you are seeing population movements away from cities and toward more suburban areas. It's one of the reasons you're seeing population movement away from places like New York and California and toward Texas and Florida. People are voting with their feet at this point. It's the reason why there is now an actual robust movement for part of, I believe, Oregon to secede and move into Idaho. It's called the Greater Idaho Movement. It's actually somewhat successful. There's some counties that are looking to move into the neighboring state. And you could theoretically see that become more of a pattern over time. And the reason for this is because America's major cities are governed according to ideology, and they are not governed according to the impact of that ideology. And people in these cities don't seem to realize that there are political alternatives. And they take 10, 15 years to realize that perhaps they should move in another direction. We've had a long history of this in the United States. In the 1960s, New York was a robust, forward-looking place. They proceeded to blow out the spending, focus in on public works projects, focus in on welfare, redoing government, undercutting the cops. And by the 1980s, New York was basically a hellhole. And that is when Rudy Giuliani was elected in the early 1990s and then restored New York. And now New York is falling back into the abyss. Los Angeles saw the same sort of stuff. Los Angeles moved away from being the place where families moved to get a house in suburbia, and it moved toward being a more liberally governed city like New York. And then that failed, and Richard Reardon was elected in Los Angeles. And since then, L.A. has been moving back toward the model that suggests liberal governance, and all of the ensuing chaos has been difficult to watch. And you're seeing this happen in city after city after city. So today, for example, the Daily Mail reports, post-pandemic, New York City is laid bare as homelessness, mental illness, and crime escalate, and rattles locals and tourists alike believe the town has lost its essence, while city cheerleaders insist the ship has turned. According to the Daily Mail, in Times Square, the most densely tourist-populated place in the United States, a mentally disturbed man known as Mr. Kim begs cops to kill him. I want to die? You have a gun? Shoot, he pleads. After the officers demur, he picks up a plank of wood and starts smashing it against the Pele soccer shop. On Sutton Place, one of the most affluent residential areas in the city, a lone man squats on the sidewalk, intently reading a paperback novel next to a shopping cart that contains his worldly goods. He begs for cash with a sign saying he has lost everything. Trying to survive, it adds, in Greenwich Village. A well-dressed man leaves his office minding his own business when a menacing character attempts to sucker punch him. The 6'4 suit ducks the punch, shrugs, and walks away. At Harlem's famed 125th Street, at 2 p.m. on a sunny May day, a middle-aged man sleeps off whatever he needs to sleep off on a bus stop bench outside a sneaker store, unaware that his naked backside is exposed for the world to see. These scenes come from across Manhattan as it struggles to get back on its feet after the COVID pandemic cut off its lifeblood of tourism, sent many of its wealthiest residents scurrying to places as diverse as Vermont and Florida, and upped the ante on homelessness, mental illness, and crime, particularly random assaults and stabbings. Governor Andrew Cuomo declared on Wednesday New Yorkers don't feel safe, and they don't feel safe because the crime rate is up. It's not that they're being neurotic or overly sensitive, they're right. We have a major crime problem in New York City. Everything we just talked about with the economy coming back, you know what the first step is? People have to feel safe again. Except for the fact that people aren't going to feel safe again so long as they continue to push bad governance in New York City. So long as they continue to treat criminality as though it is just another way of life. And so long as they continue to tax the living hell out of their citizens to pay for presumably no public services and simultaneously undercut the cops and tell the cops they're not allowed to do their jobs. What the Black Lives Matter riots of last year exposed is that in America's major cities, the cops have been called off. And because the cops have been called off, criminals are doing what they want to do. And not only that, low-level acts of criminality become more common. If the James Q. Wilson broken windows theory, which is basically that if you allow low-level crimes to predominate, higher-level crimes will follow, if you were to reverse that, the way to do that would be to say we are not going to prosecute high-level crimes, and low-level offenders are going to say, okay, well, if they're not prosecuting people who are, you know, breaking into shops openly on Fifth Avenue, then what does it matter if I jump a turnstile? If New York City decides to ignore the upswing of anti-Semitic hate crime it's missed over the past couple of years, then why wouldn't they get more of an upswing? And the liberal governance in New York City has decided that basically anything you do that is a low-level act of criminality is something that should be ignored on behalf of equity. And it's not just New York City. Blaming this on the pandemic ignores the fact that New York was having serious problems before the pandemic. New York was basically floating along the same river that the rest of the United States was in terms of the economy was really good before the pandemic. But there were underlying problems in New York City that were already causing millionaires and billionaires to move out of New York. There are already problems that were causing people to look outside of New York. The same thing is true in California. Article from the Daily Wire today. Jeffrey Kaywood reporting. A progressive coalition of activist groups in Los Angeles have targeted Democratic City Councilman Mitch O'Farrell, blaming him for the relocation of about 200 homeless people who were part of an encampment that had taken over a public park in his district. So even Democrats in L.A. are beginning to look around and realize the taxpayers don't exactly like it when homelessness swamps the city. Because homelessness is not just a matter of people who are living on the street. Although, again, people who pay taxes have a right to the public thoroughfare just as well as people who are mentally ill or drug addicts living on the street. And allowing mentally ill or drug addicts or people who have decided to simply loiter to hang around on city streets is not an excellent way of providing a feeling of safety and security to citizens who are paying exorbitant taxes in order to get exactly that feeling of security. But in Los Angeles, they've been allowing homelessness to spiral out of control for literally years. The ACLU received a court order that prevented the cops from actually moving homeless people's stuff on the street. They declared it was private property of homeless people. So these homeless folks can be on the street, dirtying a public thoroughfare that they pay no taxes on, and they obviously don't have a right to. But you can't move their stuff, because if you move their stuff, that's their stuff. So the public property is their stuff, but also their stuff is their stuff. Whereas for you, the public property is not your stuff. You don't have any right to it, free of open needles on the street and open liquor bottles and people who are mentally ill. And by the way, none of this is compassionate to people who actually have drug addictions or people who are mentally ill. One of the great lies that is told by the left-wing media is that somehow you are more compassionate if you leave people to live in their own filth underneath a freeway overpass than if you were to actually take measures to prevent people from doing that. Some of these folks need actual medication. Many of them need to dry out. But the basic notion that it is now the responsibility of taxpayers to watch their cities degrade because someone has a right to engage in activity that deprives them of their own ability to reason is beyond, it's beyond measure. It's crazy. And things are getting worse and worse in these cities. Again, driven by the radical left, which is now eating Democrats in these cities. And the big problem in a lot of these cities is that the alternative to the Democratic governance isn't some sort of Republican being elected. The alternative to Democratic governance is some sort of communist being elected. It's actually the problem in Portland. And the mayor of Portland, who's a left-wing nut who's allowed riots to go on in his cities for months on end, that mayor was a bulwark against a communist who was about to win over there. Seattle has degraded. L.A. has degraded. Chicago has degraded. Says the Daily Wire, homeless advocates swarmed O'Farrell, this is Mitch O'Farrell in L.A., on Wednesday afternoon as Echo Park Lake officially reopened after 2 months of undergoing extensive cleaning, repair, and renovation. The project cost more than $1 million. Sanitation crews had reportedly removed syringes, guns, machetes, and according to O'Farrell's office, more than 700 pounds of biological waste. So things were going great in the park. Don't worry. It was making the city healthier and freer. Demonstrators, however, chanted shame on Mitch and called for his resignation. Staffers tried to shield O'Farrell as the activists shouted and followed him around the park before the councilman retreated to his office a block away. This is going to be your legacy, Mitch, one attendee loudly predicted. They accused O'Farrell of sending LAPD to the 29-acre park in March to sweep homeless people out of the area, resulting in officers clashing with protesters after police issued a dispersal order. O'Farrell claimed no one was forcibly removed by law enforcement. The protest group included activists representing People's City Council, L.A., an alliance convened by Black Lives Matter, of course, because lawlessness is one of the chief goals of the Black Lives Matter movement. They truly believe that systems of power in the United States are so corrupt that lawlessness is required. Mitch thought he could show his face in public and not have to hear from people, tweeted People's City Council, L.A. Well, Mitch O'Farrell and his staff got chased out of the park. This is what it's going to be like, Mitch. Hashtag MitchWatch. Hashtag resign Mitch. Naturally, an organizer with People's City Council LA seeks to unseat O'Farrell when he is up for re-election in 2022. Activists pointed out signs displaying a litany of rules governing the park. Those rules are rules saying things like, if you leave your property in the park, it could be removed and impounded. And also, you're not allowed to shoot up in the park. But this is bad. You're not allowed to have cops in the park, according to these activists. Okay, this is what decades of democratic governance reeks. And it gets worse and worse. And one of the reasons that we moved from L.A. is specifically because of these living conditions. If you're paying extraordinarily high taxes and receiving zero public services, and you have to worry about your kids walking out the front door, yes, that is a reason to move. The neighborhood we moved from was a fairly decent suburb in an Orthodox Jewish area. And as I've talked about, when you open the front gate on our property, there would be this happened more than once. There'd be a homeless person beating the living hell out of his bike with a crowbar because the person was suffering from some sort of mental illness, or a homeless person face down in the street with a needle in his arm. Yes, that happened. Or a homeless person sitting directly on the tree outside your property and just eating from a can. Like, how am I supposed to let my kids out the front gate? And it's gotten worse in the area where I used to live. How bad did it get? Well, there was a public-private endeavor called NoHo West. That was fairly close to where I used to live. NoHo West cost probably $100 million to build. It was a giant, giant new mall. It was going to be beautiful. The city of Los Angeles and the state of California decided to locate directly across the street the largest open-air homeless encampment in California. So they took a $100 million project, public-private project, that used taxpayer money for the development, presumably. And then they proceeded to wreck it and make it very difficult for people to go there because there are literally hundreds of homeless people who are swarming around a park right there. Now, again, I have nothing but compassion for people who are suffering from mental illness. They require care. One of the great disappointments of liberalism is that all the people they say need care are many of the people they say need care are people who are fully capable of agency and making good decisions. And then a lot of the people they say don't need care are exactly the people who actually require the care. And they refuse to actually put in place rules that would help those people. Instead, they consider it compassionate to let them sleep under open air in sleeping bags provided by the city of L.A. directly across from a public-private development, destroying the value of that enterprise. It's incredible. And by the way, it's not just L.A. It's happening in Austin as well. We'll get to that in just 1 second. First, here's a simple fact. You could be paying a lot less for your home every month. This is really a true statement since interest rates are still in the twos. But they're not going to be this low forever, so you really do need to act right now. Call American Financing. Get a free mortgage review. There's no obligation, no pressure, no upfront or hidden fees. Just a simple conversation around which loan program might be the best fit. Because they want you to have the best rate and the lowest monthly payment possible. They really are in it for you, which is why they follow a consultative approach, helping you understand options before customizing a loan for you. And let me tell you, they have access to countless programs, so you're certain to find the right fit. Many of their customers are saving up to $1,000 a month. Why not see what they can do for you? Call American Financing right now at 866-721-3300. That's 866-721-3300 or visit AmericanFinancing.net. NMLS 182334, NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Again, now's a great time to do that mortgage refi. Your highest monthly bill is probably that mortgage bill. Why not get it lowered right now? By my friends at American Financing. Check them out, AmericanFinancing.net, 866-721-3300, AmericanFinancing.net. Coming up, it's not just New York, it's not just L.A., it's also Austin, Texas. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Hey, listen to this. Last Tuesday, I was robbed blind. A thief broke my car window, took my laptop, and ran off. Or at least that's what would have happened if I didn't have Vivint. Instead, here's what really happened. Thief walked up, my Vivint camera detected him, scared him, and he ran away. My Vivint security system doesn't just record crime, it actually prevents it with a flashing red light and a whistle. And the best part is, I can check in on my home from anywhere right from my phone, whether I'm at the gym or the office, thanks to Vivint, all is well. If you want a system professionally installed, fit with the best cameras and 24/7 monitoring, call Vivint today. 833-420-4070 for a free quote and lock in free installation and a free month of monitoring service. Vivint, smart security professionally installed. Call 833-420-4070 to get started today. Offer valid for new customers only. System purchase requires monthly service agreement and equipment package. Speak to a Vivint representative today for complete equipment, services, and financing details. Visit Vivint.com for licensing information. Other terms and conditions may apply.
Corey lived in more than 30 foster homes before she was 16.
I thought, I'm going to end up on the streets. That's just how it's going to be.
Thankfully, Corey was adopted with help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption. She earned a college scholarship and has a bright future. But every year, thousands of youth age out of foster care without a permanent loving family. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention, have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers: bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you: printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Hi, I'm Todd Simon, the fifth-generation family owner of Omaha Steaks. There's nothing I love more than putting a steak on the grill for Father's Day. With Dad's Day right around the corner, send him more than just a gift. Send him an experience with the Get Out and Grill assortment. This package includes 20 entrees he's guaranteed to love. My personal favorite is the 10-ounce butcher-cut New York strip. Plus, you'll get 4 New York strip burgers free with your order. Visit OmahaSteaks.com and type sizzle in the search bar. That's OmahaSteaks.com, keyword sizzle.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So crappy Democratic governance is afflicting cities everywhere, from New York to Los Angeles and also in Austin, Texas. According to the Daily Wire, on Thursday, Austin, Texas council member Mackenzie Kelly appeared on Fox and Friends to speak of her fear that the homeless who are camping en masse around the City Hall area, some of whom are protesting a proposition that prohibited public camping, pose a genuine threat to public safety. Kelly said, "I was hoping to find out what their point of view was. One of the great things about living in the country, we have a diversity of thought. We can all learn from one another." But clearly, individuals specifically did not want to do that. Okay, so according to Kelly, she said, this is my main concern, not just for my safety, but for the safety of everyone who works around City Hall in and around downtown. Some of the residents told this person, quote, you have people who are assaulted, people who are robbed, you've had home invasions. It started with box cutters as weapons. Now, sadly, we joke that we're the machete capital of Texas. The city of Austin basically allows them to do whatever they want. Kelly says, I've been told by the city manager the free speech zone will not go away until August 8th. My problem with that is that this has happened before. During the Occupy movement 10 years ago, our city council ensured there was no oversight camping on the property. My biggest concern here is for safety. She said these people are armed with machetes, they have metal pipes, they have six walkie-talkies, they're wearing bulletproof vests. They've not only harassed me, I've had city staff come into my office over the last several days thanking me for speaking out about it because they're experiencing the same thing. Roughly 3 weeks ago, the voters of Austin, again a very progressive city in Texas, approved Proposition B, which prohibits public camping in an effort to combat the city's homeless problem. 57% of voters approved of the proposition, 42% opposed it. The Democratic mayor of Austin and city council, the city council is 10 Democrats and a single Republican. Okay, but the Travis County Republican chair, Matt McCoviak, said tonight is a clear message the city of Austin sent to City Hall. We're not going to put up with the insane policies that make life worse. But things have gotten so bad in Austin that there are places that are seeking to de-annex from Austin and just allow the state of Texas to govern them directly. I mean, it's truly incredible how these blue cities are starting to fall apart. In Chicago, Chicago has now announced, their police department just announced that they're changing their policy with regard to foot pursuits. Hey, what is their new policy with regard to foot pursuits? You want to talk about allowing criminality to flourish? Their policy with regard to foot pursuits is that foot pursuits will only be allowed when there is, quote, probable cause for an arrest, or it is believed an individual has committed, is committing, or is about to commit a crime. There will be no foot chases stemming from minor traffic offenses. So if somebody is speeding and they get out of their car and they run, the police are not allowed to chase them. Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot said, because foot pursuits are one of the most dangerous actions police officers can engage in, we can't afford to wait any longer to put a policy in place that regulates them. The important parameters outlined in this policy will not only protect our officers, the public, and potential suspects during foot pursuits. It also serves as a step forward in our mission to modernize and reform our police department. The interim plan includes the following. Reminding officers to begin any interaction with tactics meant to reduce the possibility of a foot pursuit. Defining foot pursuits as appropriate only when there is probable cause for an arrest or it is believed an individual has committed, is committing, or is about to commit a crime. Prohibiting foot pursuits stemming from minor traffic offenses. Detailing tactics to avoid a foot pursuit, including continual communication with the subject and encouraging officers to position themselves in such a way to reduce the opportunity for a foot chase. Outlining alternatives to foot pursuits that should always be considered by officers, including establishing a surveillance or containment area and or apprehending an identified suspect at another time or place. So otherwise, let the guy go. Let him run away. Committed a crime. But you know what? Is it really worth it? Basically what this does is it creates liability for an officer deciding to pursue, but no liability for letting the guy go. That's the incentive structure that has now been created for Chicago cops. If you follow the guy, you're now going to have to justify to the police department why you engaged in a foot pursuit. But if you just let the criminal go and he goes and he shoots somebody, you can always say, well, you know what? I really didn't think a foot pursuit was appropriate. I wasn't sure he was going to go commit a crime. Okay, the benefit of the doubt used to be with the cops. Okay, and you may say there was too much benefit of the doubt to the cops. That's an argument. But the alternative, it seems, is benefit of the doubt to the criminals. Because once you tell cops they can just not do their jobs, and in fact it is dangerous for them to do their jobs, they're not going to do their jobs. The new Chicago policy prohibits foot pursuits for criminal offenses less than a Class A misdemeanor, unless the person poses an obvious threat to the community or any person. And discontinuing foot pursuits if someone is injured and requires immediate medical attention, if officers are unaware of their location, and if the need to apprehend the subject is not worth the risk to responding officers, the public, or the subject. Termination of a foot pursuit if officers engaged in the pursuit believe they would not be able to control the suspect if a confrontation were to occur. Well, that's literally the suspect has a gun. I can't control the subject. Right? So I mean, this is madness. So the city of Chicago is now, by the way, supervisors are also made liable for this because now supervisors are allowed to instruct officers to discontinue a foot pursuit at any time. And anytime there's a foot pursuit, officers have to notify the Office of Emergency Management and Communications. All of this was done in the aftermath of the fatal police shooting of 13-year-old Adam Toledo, who was holding a gun and was shooting at random cars passing by. So this is all designed to prevent the shooting of Adam Toledo, who was, in fact, engaging in deadly type of criminal behavior. Shooting guns at passing cars is a deadly type of criminal behavior. And the city of Chicago's solution is tell the cops to stop engaging in foot pursuits. Can you imagine why the cities are getting worse? How could they possibly be getting worse? How? Okay, well, play stupid games, win stupid prizes is the name of the game over in Atlanta, which is pursuing similar policies. According to the New York Post, an Atlanta mayoral candidate who voted to sequester $73 million from the city's police department budget reportedly had his car stolen by a group of young thieves this week and wound up thanking the cops for their help. City Council member Antonio Brown had just gotten out of his white Mercedes coupe to speak to fellow community leader Ben Norman in northwest Atlanta's Dixie Hills community Wednesday when he spotted four or five kids, the youngest only six or seven. The kids were walking around a store, and within seconds, they jumped inside his car. One kid was in the driver's seat, Brown told the outlet. Ben attempted to open the door to get him out of the car. He fought with Ben. I then engaged and tried to get him out of the car. The three other kids were trying to figure out how to get in the car or stay out of the car. He started to hit on the gas, and Ben let it go. As he started to speed up, and if I knew I had not let it go, I knew I could probably have killed myself because he was going so fast I would have started to tumble, he said, and I would have hurt him. Brown said he filed a report with the Atlanta PD. And now again, Brown voted to defund the police. What did Brown say? He said, it appears the kids acted out of desperation. He said, this is a generational poverty issue. These kids, it's 12:30 in the afternoon. Why aren't they in school? Why aren't we enforcing systems to ensure that if they're not in school, they're in rec centers? Or again, you could just tell the cops never to enforce the law, and the predictable result is they will steal your car. Okay, so play stupid games, win stupid prizes. Alrighty, coming up, if you hate what's happening in the cities, get ready for it to go national. Joe Biden's got a plan to do just that. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
KCNR, 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at am1460.com. Don't miss Free Fire Radio weekday mornings from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bott. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. From noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday night, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal to riding routes, pop culture, and unsung heroes in the North State. From 7 to 10, tune into Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. KCNR also has an incredible weekend lineup, including The Plotline, Jefferson State of Mind, Sovereign Minds, and We the People on KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5 at 1460 AM.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to kcnr1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Did the Redding summer heat put a toll on your vehicle? Is your paint faded, peeling, or even scratched up? It'll get worse faster than you think. You may think it's way too expensive to have painted. Well, think again. You can bring it to Maaco here in Redding and get a professional paint job and save big with their $4.99 special. Maaco also has interest-free loans for up to a year OAC. Maaco, America's Body Shop, 3045 Crossroads Drive. Uh-oh. Better call Maaco, 226-0992. Have you been involved in a minor accident and find it's not big enough to go through your insurance company? Bring it to Maaco and get it fixed at a fraction of the cost. Remember, it's your choice where you go to have your vehicle repaired. Call Maaco for uncompromised quality, quick turnaround times, and all work backed by the National Maaco Warranty. Maaco, America's Body Shop. Stop in at 3045 Crossroads Drive or call 226-0992. Uh-oh. Better call Maaco, 226-0992.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown.
Each week we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
A Moment in History by KCNR and historian Dottie Smith. The Killark Powerhouse is a substation of Northern California Power Company located on Old Cow Creek near Whitmore. It was built to supply additional power to Keswick and Mountain Copper Company. And as a backup power plant for the Volta Powerhouse, it began generating power in 1904, operated 24 hours a day. On the grounds were the foreman's two-story stone house plus two other houses, a nine-bedroom clubhouse usually occupied by single men, a horse barn, and a dance hall upstairs and a swimming pool. To find out more about Dottie Smith, go to the Shasta County Historical Society.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge.
According to a new proposal, religious family planning providers would be removed from the Title X family planning program if they do not provide referrals for abortions. It will instead require the promotion of abortions, which will violate the conscience rights of faith-based programs.
We rely on your generous support to continue to provide justice for all. Learn more at pji.org.
And data rates apply.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, President Biden, he looks at what's happening in the cities and he thinks to himself, it would be kind of great if that were national. So, Joe Biden has already determined that policing around the nation is going to now essentially be prosecuted by Kristen Clark, who's a wild anti-police activist. We're going to see consent decrees brought against most major police departments in the United States under the DOJ. You're going to see Joe Biden continue to trot out the lie that the police are systemically racist and that the crime problem in America's major cities is the result of either the presence of guns or the result of systemic American racism. Already he had Jen Psaki out there promoting this nonsense. And then he's going to pursue an economic policy that completely disincentivizes work, that makes it more difficult for businesses to start, that inflates the currency and discourages savings. I mean, all of this is bad policy, right? And Joe Biden is pursuing it with alacrity. Like he wants $1.3 trillion in debt added to the national debt every single year for the next 10 years. But he promises that by 2031, when Joe Biden will be 88 years old, if he is alive, then the debt will start to come down. And Joe Biden has been noticing, however, that the inflation rate was up wildly last month and that the employment statistics are not coming back as fast as he wanted them to. And so Joe Biden yesterday gave a speech in which he announced, well, you know, you can't reboot the economy without bumps in the road. Well, actually, you should be able to reboot this economy without bumps in the road, considering this is the greatest artificially induced economic coma in American history. And until you got there, Joe, things were starting to look up and we had booming growth in February. And then by March, the growth was already starting to downgrade. And by April, it was stagnating. Here is Joe Biden trying to pretend that him blowing money into the economy has actually been a boon rather than an albatross around the economy's neck.
Now, as our economy recovers, there are going to be some bumps in the road. We know that. Of course there will be. You can't reboot a global economy like flipping on a light switch. There's going to be ups and downs in jobs and economic reports. There's going to be supply chain issues, price distortions on the way back to a stable and steady growth.
Okay, except for the fact that the entire point of you blowing $2 trillion into the economy like 6 weeks ago was supposed to be that it was going to even this thing out. That was supposedly the purpose. Instead, all you ended up doing was leading to higher prices because more people had more money chasing fewer products. And now Biden is saying he needs even more spending because why the hell not? I mean, seriously, why not? Joe Biden says his economic plan is working, but he urges additional, quote unquote, generational investments. All he cares about is getting his legacy before he's out. That's all the old man cares about. He says now is the time to build on the foundation we've laid to make bold investments in our families, in our communities, in our nation. Of course, he's not actually, his plan is not working. Right? And he continues to blow out these massive spending programs, meanwhile pushing out regulations and higher taxes and bad social policy and bad policing policy. If you want to, Los Angeles, you're America, this is the way to do it. Or New York, you're America, this is the way to do it. And the man guiding us through this is a man who's locked in a constant existential duel with the teleprompter. Our continuing series, Joe Biden versus the teleprompter, continued yesterday when Joe Biden announced that Alzheimer's patients are going to fill every hospital bed in America within a few years, which is big if true.
Diseases like Alzheimer's, diabetes, cancers, they're all on the cusp of being able to be dealt with. You know, if we don't do something about Alzheimer's in America, every single solitary hospital bed that exists in America, as the nurses can tell you, every single one will be occupied in the next 15 years with an Alzheimer's patient. Every one.
What in the... Hey, first of all, you're not hospitalized just for having Alzheimer's. You're hospitalized with complications arising from Alzheimer's. But beyond that, is the case being made, really, that every single hospital... Like, you won't be able to go to the hospital if you have a broken leg because there's an Alzheimer's patient in the bed? According to Joe... Like, again, this incoherent old coot is blowing out the economy and nationalizing Bill de Blasio's policy in New York and Eric Garcetti's policy in Los Angeles and Lori Lightfoot's policy in Chicago. Meanwhile, reporters are just fawning over him. No serious questions for him. They're fawning over the fact that he eats ice cream. I love the fact that Joe Biden, an old man eating ice cream, this is considered like, wow, unbelievable. You've never seen anything like it. Here's Joe Biden eating ice. I mean, the man can do virtually anything. He can both eat ice cream and also barely not fall down. It's incredible. Here is Joe Biden eating ice cream. And the oh my God, just the unbelievable virility of the man. I mean, virility of the man, just unbelievable.
Mr. President, what did you order?
Chocolate chip.
Oh, yeah. Look at Joe eating chocolate chip, destroying the economy and making the, yeah. But he likes ice cream, guys. It's incredible. Bunch of children. Bunch of damn children. Meanwhile, Republicans are doing what they usually do, which is they are trying to counter Democrat spending with spending of their own, which is slightly less spending. So here's the thing about being a Republican, guys. If you guys would like to win in the future, you need to stop with this crap where you just become the Democratic Party light when it comes to spending. I understand that you think that Democrats, because they have an advantage with regard to bribing voters, that if you just half bribe voters, that that will work. But let me provide you an alternative theory. If this is a competition between who can spend more money to bribe people, Democrats will win that competition. So why exactly are you offering a $928 billion plan for quote-unquote actual infrastructure? A group of Republican senators have now counter-offered the Biden administration's $1.7 trillion infrastructure plan with a proposal that would spend around $928 billion instead, with much of the money already coming from expected spending levels. According to the Washington Post, the bulk of the money would be spent on roads, $500 billion. Let me just explain, we don't need $500 billion for the damned roads. According to The Atlantic, 85% of America's roads and bridges are in fine shape. The vast majority of America's roads and bridges aren't even under federal auspices. Another $214 billion would be set aside for public transportation. Great. Water infrastructure and passenger rail. Not a single dime should be spent on passenger rail. Okay, we don't need monorail from The Simpsons. We don't. Passenger rail. What is this, 1832? Passenger rail. About a quarter of the money, according to the Post, would be new spending. The rest would come from hundreds of billions in unspent stimulus money or pre-planned spending. During a Thursday press conference, Senator Shelley Moore Capito, the lead Republican in the infrastructure negotiation, said the $928 billion cost of the plan would be spent over 8 years. Republicans say, well, this is actual infrastructure. You're right. It is actual infrastructure. Also, you don't need to be in a spending contest with the Democrats, because I'll tell you how this is going to end up. Seriously, the way that this is going to end up is with Democrats passing a larger bill and then suggesting that they are more generous, because this is the way it always works. I will show you proof. Joe Biden yesterday, he went out, and during his speech at one point, he pointed out that the quote-unquote American Rescue Plan, for which zero Republicans voted, is being touted by many Republicans in their own district. Now, to be fair to some of those Republicans added provisions to their bills, to that bill, that brought home the bacon for their districts, knowing the bill would pass, and voted against the bill because they didn't like the bill in its entirety. So they're sort of bragging about the fact that they got a provision that helped their district into the bill. But here's the reality. Joe Biden saying, you guys voted against this giant aid package, and now you're bragging about the quote-unquote aid package. It's kind of a telling political point. Shockingly, the president isn't entirely wrong here. Here he goes.
Even my Republican friends in Congress, not a single one of them voted for the rescue plan. I'm not going to embarrass any one of them, but I have hear a list of how back in their districts they're bragging about the rescue plan. They touted the restaurant revitalization fund. They touted the fact that we're in a situation where they're dealing with touted grants to community health care centers. Touted, I mean, some people have no shame.
Well, but the truth is that he's not completely wrong when it comes to the fact that Republicans can't have it both ways. You can't be the party of spending and then be like, okay, well, the other guys spend more. But also, like, I'm glad the spending is, like, that's not how any of this works. Here's what Republicans ought to be doing. Make the Democrats own the spending. Make them own the spending. See, right now, the economy would be set to boom were it not for the intervention of the Biden administration. Now would be an excellent time for Republicans to say, listen, you want to pass all the spending? It's on you. Really, go for it. Enjoy. It's all you. And put all the onus and the pressure on Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema to vote along with this stuff. Put all the pressure on Mark Kelly in Arizona to vote along with this stuff. Force a choice for the voters. Do you want to spend this much money or do you not want to spend this much money? But don't give Democrats the ability to come back and say, well, you know, Republicans opposed the spending, but they really didn't oppose the spending very much. This is why the death of the Tea Party movement was such a disaster for Republicans. And we ended up in this sort of populist miasma where we don't even have the argument anymore that spending is bad. The entire Tea Party was formulated around the notion that blowing out government spending was a bad idea. And then Republicans were like, yeah, but what if we just spent more money? It was idiotic at the time. It remains idiotic. Okay, honestly, and Democrats are ready to fall right into this binary trap. They are. Democrats are out there saying that Democrats should stop negotiating and ram it through. You know what? They're right. Do it. Own it. Make the Democrats own it. Let Elizabeth Warren own all the spending she wants to do. She wants to pursue modern monetary theory and blow out the inflation. Make all the quote-unquote moderate Democrats in the Senate go along with that or choose to side against their own party. Put their feet to the fire. Elizabeth Warren, more power to her. Here she was on MSNBC yesterday.
I don't see this just as Congress can't compromise. I see this as right now the Democrats are trying to get things passed that make sense, like a January 6th investigation or some sensible gun safety protections, things that are wildly popular all across this nation. And the Republican response has simply been no. They've just crossed their arms and said, no, we're just not going to do that. It's hard to compromise with someone who's just saying no. It's not like there's some place you meet in the middle on that.
Okay, fine. Do it. Seriously, do it. Bernie is saying the same thing. Let them be just what they want to be. Right? Bernie Sanders put out a piece at CNN and he says, what happens if Democrats go forward in a different direction? What happens if they spend week after week, month after month negotiating with Republicans who have little intention of addressing the serious crises facing the working families of this country? What happens if, after the passage of the vitally important American Rescue Plan, the momentum stops and we accomplish little or nothing? The American people want action, not never-ending negotiations and obstructionism, and they will not come out and vote for a party that does not deliver. Okay, force them to the choice, man. Do it. So here's the thing. The Democrats know that their record here is not going to bode well for them. And so they've decided to turn their attention elsewhere. Because they can't make this about their record. They really cannot. Not in the cities. Not nationally. We'll get to more on this in just one second. First, does it make sense that the same company that controls half of online retail also passively eavesdrops on your private conversations at home? What about the idea that a single company controls 90% of all internet searches, runs your email service, and gets to track everything you do on your smartphone? Well, big tech is more powerful than most countries are at this point. They profit by exploiting your personal data. It's time to put a layer of personal protection between your online activity and those tech juggernauts, and that is why I use ExpressVPN. Think about how much of your life is on the internet. Sadly, every site you visit, video you watch, message you send gets tracked and data mined. But when you run ExpressVPN on your device, the software hides your IP address, something big tech can use to personally identify you. So ExpressVPN makes your activity harder to trace and sell to advertisers. ExpressVPN also encrypts 100% of your internet data to keep you safe from hackers and eavesdroppers on your network. And ExpressVPN does all that without slowing your connection. What I like most about ExpressVPN is how easy it is to use. Download the app on your phone or computer, tap one button, and you are now protected. So stop handing over your personal data to the big tech monopoly that mines your activity and sells your info. Protect yourself with the VPN I trust to keep me safe online. Visit ExpressVPN.com/Ben right now. You get 3 extra months for free when you use that special code ExpressVPN.com/Ben. Alrighty, coming up, if the Democrats aren't capable of putting forward really popular legislation, they have another strategy, investigations. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Hi, I'm Todd Simon, the fifth-generation family owner of Omaha Steaks. There's nothing I love more than putting a steak on the grill for Father's Day. With Dad's Day right around the corner, send him more than just a gift. Send him an experience with the Get Out and Grill assortment. This package includes 20 entrees he's guaranteed to love. My personal favorite is the 10-ounce butcher cut New York strip. Plus, you'll get 4 New York strip burgers free with your order. Visit omahasteaks.com and type sizzle in the search bar. That's omahasteaks.com, keyword sizzle.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Paid for by Bar Justice. Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Earth Justice is a national legal nonprofit defending the planet and its people for nearly 50 years. Earth Justice has 150 full-time lawyers fighting in court for our planet's future and representing all clients free of charge. Until people come before profit, all energy is clean, the wild is truly free, and justice stands for all. Earth Justice will never rest. Learn more at earthjustice.org/neverrest. Earth Justice, because the earth needs a good lawyer.
Hey, listen to this. Last Tuesday, I was robbed blind. A thief broke my car window, took my laptop, and ran off. Or at least that's what would have happened if I didn't have Vivint. Instead, here's what really happened. Thief walked up, my Vivint camera detected him, scared him, and he ran away. My Vivint security system doesn't just record crime, it actually prevents it with a flashing red light and a whistle. And the best part is, I can check in on my home from anywhere right from my phone, whether I'm at the gym or the office, thanks to Vivint, all is well. If you want a system professionally installed, fit with the best cameras and 24/7 monitoring, call Vivint today. 833-420-4070 for a free quote and lock in free installation and a free month of monitoring service. Vivint, smart security professionally installed. Call 833-420-4070 to get started today. Offer valid for new customers only. System purchase requires monthly service agreement and equipment package. Speak to a Vivint representative today for complete equipment, services, and financing details. Visit Vivint.com for licensing information. Other terms and conditions may apply.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So it is fairly incredible how predictable Democrats have become. When things are going poorly in terms of legislation, it's time to unleash investigations. It's time for investigations, gang. We need investigations. This is why the left is so focused in on the January 6th commission idea. Okay, now, the reality is there are some questions that could be asked about January 6th. Seriously, like, there was a three-hour gap, apparently, between when the riots began in the Capitol and when the police actually arrived on scene, when law enforcement arrived on scene to stop all that. What happened during that three-hour intervening period? We could find out why exactly Nancy Pelosi had not wanted more law enforcement on premises at the time. Okay, but what the Democrats want from this January 6th commission, pretty obviously, is to make the 2022 election a referendum on Trump and to suggest that all Republicans are complicit in January 6th, which is why they're going to make it about the rhetoric. What led up to January 6th? What was the ideology in people's minds? Which, again, is a crackdown on ideology and a crackdown on how people think and how people speak, not really an investigation into the systematic law enforcement failures that allowed people to breach the Capitol building. Okay, we didn't have. The 9/11 Commission was really not about the ideological roots of Al-Qaeda. The 9/11 Commission report was really about the systematic law enforcement failures. What exactly happened? But Democrats don't want to restrict this to what exactly happened on that day. They want it to be broader. And they want this thing to take beyond the boundaries of the year. They would like this to bleed into next year so they can continue talking about January 6th And then they can say, listen, no matter how badly we've governed the country, the people on the other side, those guys are the real threats of the country. They're the ones who are truly scary. This is why Joe Biden continues to fulminate over January 6th. It was 6 months ago. Order was restored inside of a few hours, and the vote went forward. The only person who was killed was one of the rioters, Ashley Babbitt. That's the only person who was murdered on scene. Well, murdered is strong. Who was killed on scene. Okay. The cops who died on, there's no evidence at this point that they were killed on scene by the rioters. So is that, I mean, George Will suggested it was comparable to 9/11 in terms of how Americans should think about it. That, of course, is incredibly silly. Not the same, but we're going to continue to focus in on January 6th because if your policies are failing, this is what you do. Here is Joe Biden pushing the January 6th stuff.
I can't imagine anyone voting against the establishment of a commission on the greatest assault since the Civil War on the Capitol. But at any rate,
hey guys,
I can't for ice cream.
That's right.
The greatest assault since the Civil War? What in the world? Okay, but we know what in the world, and that is political misdirection. The media are fully invested in this. They are pointing out which Republicans are supporting the 1-6 commission. Those would be Susan Collins, Lisa Murkowski, and Mitt Romney have all said that they are supporting. That is not a shock, of course. Then there are about 9 Republicans who are still considering. That would include Shelley Moore Capito of West Virginia, Bill Cassidy of Louisiana, Mike Crapo of Idaho, Jerry Moran of Kansas, Rob Portman of Ohio, Ben Sasse of Nebraska, John Thune of South Dakota, Pat Toomey of Pennsylvania, and Roger Wicker of Mississippi. Joe Manchin said today he thinks there may be 5 or 6 Republicans who are in favor, but a lot of Republicans are not. When asked if he would break the filibuster, if he would vote to nuke the filibuster in order to get the 1-6 commission, Manchin was like, nah, I don't think that's appropriate.
Would you be willing to break the filibuster in order to get this passed? The claim
I'm not ready to destroy our government. I'm not ready to destroy our government. No, I think that we'll come together. You have to have faith. There's 10 good people.
Okay, and if there aren't 10 good people, in his view, if there aren't enough Republicans, then guess what? Democrats will launch their partisan commission anyway. I mean, we all know where this commission is going, don't we? The whole point of this is to keep Trump front and center in the American public imagination. That is the entire goal here, because we kind of know what we were going to know, and the only stuff that we don't know could have been found out by Democrats during an impeachment inquiry, which they decided not to do, in favor of rushing that thing forward so they could get an impeachment on the books so Nancy Pelosi could claim she'd impeached Trump twice or something, as though she got extra points. Meanwhile, if you don't like that investigation, they've got other ones on the way. According to the New York Times, federal prosecutors in Brooklyn have been investigating whether several Ukrainian officials helped orchestrate a wide-ranging plan to meddle in the 2020 presidential election, including using Rudy Giuliani to spread their misleading claims about President Biden and tilt the election in Donald Trump's favor, according to people with knowledge of the matter. More investigations into Ukraine and Russia. Sounds great. The criminal investigation, which began during the final months of the Trump administration and has not been previously reported, underscores the federal government's increasingly aggressive approach toward rooting out foreign interference in American electoral politics. Much of that effort is focused on Russian intelligence, which has suspected ties to at least one of the Ukrainians now under investigation. Now, you'll recall that the entire Russia collusion investigation came to nothing after years of the media pumping it. Get ready for more of this. Now the suggestion is going to be that Russians operating inside Ukraine were trying to skew the 2020 election. Now, you'll recall that there was no investigation into Ukrainian efforts to skew the 2016 election. Why? Because the Ukrainians were on Hillary Clinton's side. This is from Politico, January 2017. Donald Trump wasn't the only presidential candidate whose campaign was boosted by officials of a former Soviet bloc country. Ukrainian officials tried to help Hillary Clinton and undermine Trump by publicly questioning his fitness for office. They also disseminated documents implicating a top Trump aide in corruption and suggested they were investigating the matter only to back away after the election. And they helped Clinton's allies research damaging information on Trump and his advisors, a political investigation found. A Ukrainian-American operative who was consulting for the DNC met with top officials in the Ukrainian embassy in Washington in an effort to expose ties between Trump, top campaign aide Paul Manafort, and Russia, according to people with direct knowledge of the situation. Was there a federal investigation into that? No. No. So more investigation. By the way, there are certain investigations they're not happy about, the Democrats. Some of those investigations include, like, the only important investigation internationally right now, which is whether COVID was leaked from a Wuhan lab. That is important because we need to know when the Chinese government knew about COVID. If they knew about this thing in November, and then they waited until late January to announce that it was human-to-human transmission, not only are they responsible for the leak, they're responsible for the 3 million dead people across the world and the nearly 600,000 dead people in the United States. And yet, There's a certain lack of curiosity when it comes to our media and the lab leak theory and the Chinese cover-up. A complete lack of curiosity. For example, Dr. Ezekiel Emanuel, who is an advisor to Joe Biden and a former health policy advisor in the Obama administration, he was on MSNBC saying, who cares how it happened? Why does it matter? The answer is, if you want to stop this from happening in the future, maybe we should know how it happened. Also, you might want to punish the government that hid it for months. Here was Zeke Emanuel being an idiot.
We need all the data and we need transparency, and we do need the Chinese to participate because, you know, the real issue is not how did this happen? The real issue is how do we protect ourselves from the next pandemic? And how do we have a kind of early warning system for whether it's naturally occurring or a laboratory leak? We still need to protect right. ourselves so we don't have 3, 4, 5, 10 million people die unnecessarily.
Well, one of the ways that you protect yourself is by finding out whether Chinese labs were engaged in the sort of sloppiness that allows a deadly virus to leak from the lab. And then maybe you don't fund them. And then maybe you don't trust the Chinese when they tell you there's no human-to-human transmission. The amazing lack of curiosity on the part of these public health experts, it's shocking, except for the fact that anything that doesn't abide by their agenda is just ignored by them, which is why we spent a year with social media shutting down any sort of speculation about the lab leak theory. Now and now only is Facebook deciding, oh, yeah, I guess you can talk about that publicly now. Pretty incredible stuff. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Patrick Foss. By a 54-35 vote margin, Democrats have failed in their bid to impedal a commission Republicans say was designed to keep the Capitol right of the headlines well into next year's midterm elections.
The vote appeared doomed from the start after leading Republicans characterized it as an effort by Democrats to embarrass former President Trump and his supporters well into 2022. Minority Leader McConnell charged earlier in the week the commission would be slanted and unbalanced. He also called it a purely political exercise that adds nothing to the sum total of information. McConnell noting the Capitol riot is already being investigated by other branches of government. Bob Agnew, Capitol Hill.
The White House is downplaying the rising price of gasoline as record numbers of Americans travel this holiday weekend.
Gas prices have hit their highest levels in 7 years, with the national average above $3 a gallon for regular. Mindful of the rising pump prices, the White House issued a statement to deflect any blame. Press Secretary Jen Psaki said President Biden knows the gas prices are a pain point for Americans, especially middle-class families. But she claimed that current prices are in line with what they've been in recent decades. Greg Clugston, Washington.
On the eve of Memorial Day weekend, President Biden paid tribute to America's military service members. He spoke to members of the armed forces at Joint Base Langley, Eustis, in Hampton, Virginia.
Our heart, our honor, your solid steel spine. So my message to all of you is quite simple. Thank you. Thank you.
The president said our service members are the absolute best of America. The White House says it believes U.S. government agencies largely fended off the latest cyber espionage onslaught blamed on Russian intelligence operatives, saying the spear phishing campaign should not further damage relations with Moscow. This is townhall.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
In response to the pandemic and the expectation of big crowds this summer, parks around the country are offering reservations online.
Marissa Huntington's usual theory when going to Adirondack Mountain Reserve in New York is you snooze, you lose. Not with advanced reservations.
Pull in, show them our reservation, our name, and we could park. I didn't have to worry about getting here at like 4:30 in the morning to get a spot.
The park's John Schuler says the idea is to increase accessibility.
In a fair and equitable manner. For all levels of hikers.
The reservation system offers a trade-off to visitors, sacrificing spontaneity and ease of access for benefits like a guaranteed parking spot and more elbow room in the woods. Shanza Faruqi is okay with that.
It's a little more difficult, but if that's what we need to do to, like, preserve the land, then it's not, you know, it's not too cumbersome.
That's correspondent Ed Donahue, breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. Southwest Airlines is batting a passenger for unruly conduct.
The woman is accused of punching a flight attendant in the face last weekend in an incident that highlighted a recent increase in unruly passengers. The incident happened after a plane from Sacramento, California, landed in San Diego on Sunday. San Diego Harbor Police arrested 28-year-old Viviana Quinones and charged her with felony battery, and she is now banned from Southwest. The flight attendant suffered serious injuries, losing two teeth. John Scott reporting.
16 of the 30 Major League Baseball teams have 85% vaccinations for players and other on-field personnel. That's up 14 from last week. Those teams have been able to relax coronavirus protocols, but the pace of vaccinations, according to the commissioner's office, has slowed markedly. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Patrick Foss.
Hey, guys, Dave Ramsey here. Join me and the Ramsey personalities as we give you the tools and motivation you need to win in the areas of money, career, and more right here on The Ramsey Show. Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
Tired of listening to people who are angry all the time?
Try listening to Armstrong and Getty from 9 to noon right after Free Fire Radio.
Aloha, this is Kevin, operations manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price and after a few months realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
By the way, 36%. It came down to 28%.
Well, now it should go back up. Maybe it should be 100%, and then you'd have even more money because, you know, you're going to need it. We're all going to need it. Did you see yesterday he pulled out the old, the Democrats have done this before. They say that Joe Biden, he says, he's going to raise taxes, but not on you, of course, only on other people. Standard political protocol. And he said he's gonna take that money back, you know, from just the one percenters, not you, not the 99%, you know, like those people sleeping in their own feces in parks across America. You know, Democrats, like they said, they are the 99%, and they smell like the 99%, and you know, it's just the 1%. He's only gonna tax them, and that'll take care of it. That'll take care of nothing, of course. It's the Cloward and Piven strategy being brought into reality by the Biden administration. But he used the phrasing yesterday, interesting and peculiar phrasing. He said he's going to take that money back. That's what he said. He's going to take it back from the 1% because, you know, though it's the 99% against the 1%. I mean, he's going with the odds here, the numbers. It's, you know, it's house money after all. So he's going with this 99% thing, and he's only going to take money from the 1%. So that's not 99% of us. So how can he lose? It's going to be easy for him. to take from the 1%. And he's not going to steal it from them, you know, take it at gunpoint or under threat of force or prison or anything like that. That's exactly how he's going to take it. That's what taxation is. And but he's going to take it back. That's what he said, like it used to be his. Somebody took it from him. They've got it now. He's going to take it back. That's not how this works. But he doesn't understand these things. He's a strange man. The looks on his face, these strained, kind of crooked smiles that go off on one side, showing all of his capped teeth and squinting like he's going to get in a gunfight or something in an old Western. The guy is really, he's the president of the United States. How did that happen? Pretty amazing stuff. We've got lots on them today, actually. Not only Joe Biden's $6 trillion budget, which is completely insane, and it's designed to break the bank at Monte Carlo. You know, he's planning. This is the Cloward and Piven strategy, where you overload and overtax the U.S. economy and capitalism itself in an effort to break the back of capitalism, and then you replace it with death camps and things like that, if the 20th century is any guide when it comes to these matters as well. That seems to be what they have in mind. But we got a lot of other stuff, too, because I learned something yesterday that I didn't know. And this is, you know, Hunter Biden, the crackhead, stripper, knocker-upper guy. Where is he? The press just leaves him alone, don't they? It's good to be, because he's not one of the Trump kids, so the press doesn't despise him with the heat of a billion suns. But they love him, and they protect him like they're little Satan lapdogs protecting Satan's family. It's honestly, it's like the Omen out there. And Joe Biden is Damien Thorne, but with very severe brain damage. And his family and the media, they protect him, you know, like that, you know, the lady with the dog and all that stuff in the Omen. They protect him. But it turns out that Hunter Biden, remember, he had that $83,333 a month job with a oil and gas company, an oil and gas company in Ukraine called Burisma. They were paying him $83,333 a month. And his friend Devin Archer, who sounds like a cartoon character, but he's apparently not. And Devin Archer, he was also getting $83,333 a month from Burisma. They had never worked in the oil and gas industry or in energy at all. They had never been to Ukraine, as far as anybody knows. But they were getting these paychecks every month anyway, until Joe Biden was no longer vice president. You know, if only we had reporters in this country, we'd have a very different country, wouldn't we? And it turns out that the oil company, they didn't cut him off completely, because that'd be tacky, I think. They just cut his pay in half. When? Why? Well, when Joe Biden left the vice presidency. He moved out of the vice president's residence, and they said, well, you know, look, we just had the story yesterday, the New York Post, and not the New York Times or the Washington Post, but had the story yesterday that Hunter Biden set up a dinner at a restaurant in Washington, D.C. in Georgetown called Cafe Milano. And Franco he's the maitre d' there. Everybody knows Franco. Everybody goes to Rick's. And all, you know, the rich and famous, the powerful go to this restaurant in Georgetown. It's kind of an annoying place. You know, it's okay, but it's kind of annoying. They used to have Bud Light in bottles, but they don't anymore. And so why would anybody go there? And Bill Clinton goes there and stuff, looking for dates mostly, because, I mean, that's what he's always doing. And as like a shark looking for food, he's just going and going. And stuff spilling out of his gills and stuff like that. But never mind that. So Hunter Biden had this dinner, and the emails from the Hunter Biden laptop, which the news media lied to us about, and Twitter and Facebook hid from us on the lead-up to Election Day, because they're spectacularly corrupt, the owners of Facebook and of Twitter. You know, Jack Dorsey and Mark Zuckerberg, not necessarily in that order, incredibly corrupt. And so they hid the real news on the lead up to Election Day because they're spectacularly corrupt. And anyway, that the New York Post, they got another story about this dinner, and they're meeting with Ukrainian and Russian bigwigs with millions, maybe billions of dollars. And one of them, the wife of the former corrupt mayor of Moscow, sent $3.5 million to Hunter Biden's business. Devin Archer and Hunter Biden have this business. Isn't there a cartoon like spy show called Archer or something like that? And it might be based on Devin Archer. I'm not sure. It's a cartoon, though. And animation. It's anime. Maybe it's anime. I'm not sure. And like that, so they had this, and then the emails show the Ukrainian the next day sending an email saying thanks for introducing me to your father. And, you know, Joe Biden has said that he never talked business with his son and it had nothing to do with any of this. These are all lies, of course, but the New York Times and the Washington Post, they're fine with it because they lie all the time, too. And that's their job. That's their role in our society. Have I mentioned that we're at 888-630, already off to the races on Friday morning. 888-630-9625 is the telephone number here. And I got a lot more on this, too, because it turned, you know, Hunter Biden, they cut his pay in half, and apparently they cut poor Devin Archer's pay in half, too. So, you know, it was still an awful lot of money by any rational standard, but they were, because they were buying access is what it was. They were paying for access to Joe Biden. Joe Biden knew it, and Joe Biden's showing up at restaurants, and Joe Biden's lying about it, and then his brother and the whole family involved in this Chinese business, and the media's fine with that, too. They don't report out on that at all. That's all okay. And it reminded me of the Clinton Foundation. You know, when Hillary Clinton Foundation was raising all kinds of money, and Bill Clinton shattered all of his own records, getting $500,000 for a single speech in Russia. And then Hillary Clinton, and they got this foundation. They had this foundation. They were doing all kinds of good stuff in Haiti, which really Bill Clinton was just going there to get dates. That was really what that was all about. And Hillary, too, wink, wink, you know, if you know what I'm saying. But then Hillary Clinton lost the, and they were getting all this money from overseas sources and from people here. Lots and lots of money flowing into the Clinton Foundation and their various enterprises. And then Hillary Clinton lost the presidential race, which was hilarious, to Donald Trump in 2016. And the money dried up to the Clinton Foundation. Because this is all pay for play. This is all, trading money for access. This is the casual corruption of the ruling class. And when you're a Democrat, you're protected by the frauds at the Washington Post, the New York Times, and CNN, and the rest of them. And it's, full of crazy stuff. You may remember also, the Clinton son-in-law, he actually married Chelsea Clinton. Can you imagine such a thing? This guy married Chelsea Clinton, and he opened up a hedge fund. He opened a hedge fund. But when Hillary Clinton lost, they had to roll up the tent and close the hedge fund because it was all about buying access. And the one that Chelsea Clinton is married to, he's the son of two former Democrat members of the House of Representatives, one of whom, the father, I think he did, I'm going to get into some detail on this, but I think he did two terms in Congress and the House of Representatives, and then one term in prison for all kinds of fraud and stuff. So I want to get into that today because it's eye-opening how corrupt this city is and how corrupt our media is for not reporting this. Even Russell Brand, he's a British guy, apparently they call him an actor and a comedian. He's like the president of the Stinkin' Lucky Club, I think is what he is, because he's not funny and he's not talented and he's not an actor by any fair description and all that. But in any case, he's become very wealthy thanks to free market capitalism in the United States of America. Very wealthy person, even though he's talentless. But he noticed something that is glaringly obvious, and he made a little YouTube video, which is what people do now, of himself declaring the glaringly obvious. And I want to share some of that with you because none of this is apparently obvious to the editors at the Washington Post and to Jeff Bezos, the richest man in the world, the owner of the Washington Post, whose slogan is, it looks like a newspaper, but it's not. Looks like a newspaper, but it's not. So we got that going. Lots of good stuff there because the Biden family is very corrupt. Joe Biden, his brother James Biden, his son Hunter, the crackhead, stripper, knocker-upper. How many grandchildren does Joe Biden have? He doesn't know. Even if you know, he doesn't. You can look it up. He can't. He doesn't know how many grandchildren he has, thanks to Hunter, the crackhead, stripper, knocker-upper, and all of that stuff. And whatever happened here, you think, you know, if this were the Trump family, the media would have built, and the cable stations, they would have built a reality show around the stripper that crackhead Hunter knocked up, and then the baby mama. It is, somewhere in Arkansas, there's a stripper whose grandfather is a fatherless child. There is a stripper with a fatherless child whose grandfather is the president of the United States. Now, that would be a reality show. MTV would have cameras in their house 24 hours a day if only this were the Trump family. But it's not. It's the Biden family, and the Democrats are corrupt, and the media are Democrats, and therefore the media is corrupt. Yeah, and this guy, even this guy Russell Brand noticed. It's kind of astonishing. I read some of what he had to say yesterday, but now we have the audio. There was video, apparently. We didn't have that. And the audio, and again, stating facts that should be obvious to everyone, but are kept secret in a very corrupt society that we have, thanks to left-wingers like Jack Dorsey and Mark Zuckerberg, and the, you know, and also Dr. Evil, the owner of the Washington Post, and the people at, you know, CNN and stuff. Oh, speaking of which, you know, the Chelsea Clinton's husband, who's the son of the ex-convict, disgraced former member of Congress. His mother was also a member of Congress, member of the House of Representatives from Pennsylvania. And you'll never guess who worked for her as her press secretary. It was Jake Tapper. It was Jake Tapper of CNN worked for her as her press secretary. This is all fine in Washington. This is all considered to be perfectly normal. That's what goes on in this town. It's a very corrupt city, filled with very corrupt people, mostly in media and government, government and media. It's kind of a, you know, a company town and a one-horse town. And it's government. It's really the Democrat Party and the media is that's the company in Washington, D.C. And it's a very corrupt company. And when you even have people like Russell Brand saying it out loud, maybe they're in trouble. Did you see the, so a lot of good stuff on that. And racism, got a whole category on racism because the Democrats are everywhere. And lots of amazing stuff, I gotta say. Lots of amazing stuff for you, today. And lots of good audio for you. Because we like good audio, what being in the radio business and everything like that. And the media with the $6 trillion bill, the spending bill by Obama, by Biden. And, same thing, sort of. And, and also speaking of which, Bernie Sanders, you know, Bernie the Bolshevik, he's a socialist, he's looking out for the little guy. His diva list was made public in a book that is being published. His diva list when he travels, you know, how rock stars remove all the green M&Ms and stuff. Well, Bernie is not only worse than that, he's much more hypocritical than that because he's a hypocrite. And, that's the short explanation. And, most socialists in America, scratch that. All socialists in America are, you know, living the high on the hog and pretending to be Bolsheviks. How many houses does Bernie Sanders have? It's 3 or 4 residences that Bernie the Bolshevik has on a government salary all these years. Isn't it great? His loving wife bankrupted that college in Vermont also. And we're going to get into all that good stuff. I got to take one here. But have you seen this going around on the Internet? You know, people aren't applying for jobs. Restaurants and other businesses are having trouble getting people to apply for jobs because we're sending out all this money. Biden is sending out all this money and paying a lot of people more to stay home than they would get if they actually went back to work, because that's what socialism does. It turns the sock of society inside out, and that's what they're doing here. At first, they jam their fist way down into the sock, then they pinch it, then they pull it inside out. It's kind of like that. But there's this thing going around, I think they call it a meme, a sign put up in front of a restaurant. You know the song, sign, sign, everywhere a sign, breaking up the scenery, wasting my mind, something like that. The sign at this restaurant says, the employee shortage is so bad that long-haired freaky people can now apply. We'll be right back.
There's only one Chris Plant, The Chris Plant Show.
Are you the parent of a 2 to 7-year-old? Listen closely for an exciting free radio offer. By now, you've probably heard of ABC Mouse, the Parents' Choice Award-winning online learning program that's actually changing the lives of early learners everywhere.
ABC Mouse is like a little one-on-one teacher. It has helped her so much.
Right now, we're offering a special radio promo to try it free for a month. But you have to go to abcmouse.com/radio to claim your free month. That's abcmouse.com/radio.
Sponsored by Age of Learning.
Look, staying healthy isn't easy. Watching your diet, hitting the gym, avoiding stress.
But a good night's rest helps boost your overall health and wellness. And it couldn't be easier. The new Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed is the only bed that effortlessly adjusts in response to both of you. The result? You wake up ready for anything. Proven quality sleep is life-changing sleep. Don't miss our weekend special. Save $1,000 on the new Sleep Number 360 Special Edition Smart Bed, Queen, now $1,799. Plus free premium delivery when you add a base. Ends Monday. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com.
2020 was a challenging year, but things are looking up, including the stock market's performance. But will it last? Hi, I'm Ken Moray, Senior Advisor at Retirement Planners of America. If you are 50 or older, call us today to schedule a free consultation to learn more about our Invest and Protect strategy that is designed to help mitigate the risk of the stock market. Call us today at 800-375-1159 to schedule your free assessment. That's 800-375-1159.
Are you the parent of a 2 to 7 year old? Listen closely for an exciting free radio offer. By now, you've probably heard of ABC Mouse, the Parents' Choice Award-winning online learning program that's actually changing the lives of early learners everywhere.
ABC Mouse is like a little one-on-one teacher. It has helped her so much.
Right now, we're offering a special radio promo to try it free for a month. But you have to go to abcmouse.com/radio to claim your free month. That's abcmouse.com/radio.
Sponsored by Age of Learning.
Liberty Mutual Insurance Company presents
Limu and Doug.
Check it out, Limu, a roadside carnival.
Step right up, folks. Test your strength. Come see the fire-breathing baby.
Let's fan out and tell people that Liberty Mutual customizes your car insurance so you only pay for what you need.
Look, an emu wearing sunglasses.
Limu, you're famous. Only pay for what you need.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Are you the parent of a 2 to 7 year old? Listen closely for an exciting free radio offer. By now, you've probably heard of ABC Mouse, the Parents' Choice Award-winning online learning program that's actually changing the lives of early learners everywhere.
ABC Mouse is like a little one-on-one teacher. It has helped her so much.
Right now, we're offering a special radio promo to try it free for a month. But you have to go to abcmouse.com/radio to claim your free month. That's abcmouse.com/radio.
Sponsored by Age of Learning.
Last Tuesday, someone broke into my car and robbed me blind. Or at least that's what would have happened if I didn't have Vivint. Instead, my Vivint Outdoor Camera Pro detected him and scared him away with a light and a whistle. Want peace of mind? Stop crime before it happens with a Vivint system. Vivint, all is well. Call 833-420-4070 to get started today. That's 833-420-4070.
Hi, I'm Albert Pujols, first baseman for the Los Angeles Angels.
And I'm Deidre Pujols. We need your help to strike out slavery. Today, millions of people are caught in this nightmare of violence, fraud, and coercion. Human trafficking is happening in our communities and around the world, and we need to act right now.
So we are sending out this SOS, a call for your help in the fight for freedom.
Please join us by visiting strikeoutslavery.com.
Furnished by the Entertainment Industry Foundation.
If you're an attorney who struggles with the balance of managing your practice and practicing law, consider Lexicon as your number one pick. From client intake to billing, and all that comes in between, Lexicon doesn't miss a thing. Our comprehensive solution combines best-in-class software and services to take care of your firm's most critical challenges, automating many of the tasks that take time out of your day. It's all about giving you more of your billable hours back. And who doesn't love more revenue? No more searching for practice management that works. Lexicon marks the spot. Visit lexiconservices.com to learn what Lexicon can do for you.
Paid for by Bar Justice.
Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? Zantac may be linked to these cancers. Bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now. Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation.
Call 800-379-9550. 800-379-9550.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. That is pretty funny. I was just reading the sign to you, you know. Sign, everywhere a sign. Because the employment situation has gotten so freaky in the United States because the federal government is sending And they're not sending, it's not Joe Biden sending him money. It's Joe Biden sending him our money, your money and my money in order to buy favor with voters. It's old-fashioned corruption. But the sign in front of this restaurant, and I don't know where it is. It's on the water. It looks like a very nice place. The employee shortage is so bad that long-haired freaky people can now apply. And it goes to the old, I think it was the five-man electrical band, sign, everywhere sign. What's it doing? It's like, breaking up the scenery and breaking my mind or something like that. Do this, don't do that, can't you read the sign? So now they're willing to take applications from long-haired freaky people. Things have gotten so bad. But my friend Randy just sent a funny one. It's another sign in front of, what would we call it, a gentleman's club, a cabaret, a nightclub. I think Hunter Biden would call it a strip joint. He spends a lot of time in these places. And the strip joint is called Perfect 10, Perfect Time, Perfect 10. And they've got a sign in front that says, now hiring eights, now hiring eights. See, that's the economy has gotten so bad that there it is. It looks like Atlanta. I think it's probably Atlanta there. Perfect 10, now hiring eights. And sign everywhere is sign, now hiring long-haired freaky people. Now they need apply. So that's good stuff. That's what just a small slice of what Biden is doing to the United States of America. And we got a whole bunch of stuff. I do want to get to this, as absurd as it is, because I've never had any appreciation for this person, Russell Brand. He's an English person from a small island nation near Europe. And he's, not one of my favorite people. I'll just leave it at that. But he, and he's a lefty, naturally, and a Trump hater, because naturally. But he put together a little video where he accidentally, well, I guess he stumbled upon some truth, and it was alarming to him. And it does have to do with the Biden family and their corruption, the casual corruption of the ruling class. And I've got that for you coming up. And then lots of stuff about, how corrupt the family is. And the big pay cut Hunter took. It must have been very difficult. I don't know how he scraped by.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. With all the talk about gun control and stripping firearms rights from law-abiding citizens, I just want you to remember that our country was founded on the idea that we would each be accountable to ourselves and each other for the safety of our society. Another important responsibility we have is a safe and effective use of a firearm. If that is your choice, give NFI a call at 999-1822 or find and register for one of our popular CCW courses at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Have you been putting off getting your colonoscopy due to COVID restrictions? Well, there's no better time than now. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, colorectal cancer screenings have declined by 86%, and as a result, up to 10,000 more deaths are projected over the next decade. With early detection, colon cancer has a 90% survival rate, and it may even be preventable with a colonoscopy. At Reading Endoscopy Center, our number one priority is the health and safety of our patients, and our center has always been committed to maintaining strict infection control and prevention protocols. Schedule your colonoscopy today by calling us at 530-246-7000 or visiting readingendoscopy.com. Visit readingendoscopy.com.
Hi, I'm Liz Ponce. We at Lassen Canyon Nursery love to support the Shasta County Farm Bureau, Shasta District Fair, and the Haven Humane Society, just to name a few nonprofits that are dear to our hearts. We are proud to live in a community that celebrates unsung heroes who give back, and we invite you to give where your heart is to help build a stronger community together. Please remember to visit Lassen Canyon Nursery before you plant your strawberry patch this spring.
Yeah, we'll be counting stars.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Hi, my name's Nick Gardner. I have a show here on KCNR. Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. every other Sunday. The name of my show is Poke the Hornet's Nest.
There's no mountain I can't climb. There's no tower too high. No plane that I can't learn how to fly. What do I gotta do to get through to you to show you there ain't nothing I can't take this chainsaw to?
I'm going to concentrate on local politics mainly, but we'll talk about national politics also. You'll get the view of the common citizen here in Redding, California. And remember, today is the first day of the rest of your life. Maybe it's a good time for a new perspective about what's been going on in our town, in our state, in our nation. I hope you tune in and hear the other side of the news.
I'm Arielle Winter. If you're anything like me, your pets are not only your best friends, they're part of your family. American Humane, which has been rescuing animals like Cleo here for more than 100 years, has life-saving tips that can make a big difference in a disaster. When disaster strikes, you want to protect your whole family, including your pets. To help keep your family safe and help our best friends in their worst times, find tips at AmericanHumane.org.
Okay, now, this guy Russell Brand, you've heard of this guy perhaps? Maybe. I mean, there's not a lot to... But he's an English person, and he claims to be a comedian, and he claims to be an actor. He gets work as an actor, and inexplicably, he somehow gets work as a comedian as well. It makes no sense at all. But he has access to the Internet, apparently, because he's white. And he posted a video, and this video he discovered that the Biden family is corrupt, and that the media and social media people are corrupt as well, and that they're all in bed together. See how he figured that out all on his own, I read some of what he said yesterday, but. It bears repeating because I've got to think that a lot of people out there are beginning to have their eyes opened. I mean, I don't know how you can have your eyes this closed for this long, but a lot of people out there, if Russell Brand is opening his eyes, then a lot of people have to be realizing that there's a lot of corruption that we're witnessing right now. We live in a corrupt time. I don't think that I've ever lived in a time as corrupt as the time that we're living in now. And it has everything to do with media and the growth of social media. News media, broader media, you know, television, entertainment, television, the left, Hollywood, they've taken over. The left has information domination in the United States of America, as military and intelligence officials might describe it. So this guy, Russell Brand, talking about the Biden family And the New York Post stories being hidden by the New York Times, the Washington Post, CNN, being attacked. If anybody brings it up, they're attacked and said they're spreading debunked conspiracy theories and it was Russian disinformation and a Russian intelligence operation. None of this was true. These were all scurrilous lies perpetrated by people who lie quite comfortably. And, you know, there's the money going into the Biden family coffers from Ukraine, from China, from Russia, in the order of millions and millions of dollars. And the New York Times is fine with that. CNN and the Washington Post are fine with that. This is none of this is, like, even vaguely contested. And the emails are, and the laptop is, Hunter Biden property. So we know all of this to be true, but the media buried it on the lead up to Election Day because they were part of, in fact, they were the entirety of the Biden campaign. And here's this English guy, Russell Brand, talking about, made a little video on TikTok or wherever he posted it, and who cares, somewhere on the internet. And Russell Brand talking about Hunter Biden and the media and Joe Biden and the whole family and the corruption thing. Here's Russell Brand.
For me, revelations that there are financial connections between energy companies in the Ukraine, energy companies in China, and the Biden family are troubling. That should be public knowledge. And it's even more troubling that Twitter and Facebook and the media at large deliberately kept it out of the news because they didn't want it to influence the election. What is democracy then? It suggests to me that democracy is, we want you to vote for this person. We don't want you to vote for that person.
I think he's onto them. Wait a minute. And he's like, you know, this hit him like a diamond bullet. He slapped the heel of his hand against his forehead when this, he said these were revelations. These are not revelations. Well, they wouldn't be if he listened to this show, and in all probability to the radio station that you're listening to right now. These would not be startling revelations because, you know, honest media, truth media, not left-wing media, have been talking about all of this. Russell Brand, big tech and media suppressed Hunter Biden story, quote, because they didn't want it to influence the election. The Washington Examiner headline, Andrew Mark Miller writing an important story on the subject. Russell Brand really just figured this out. It's like, wait, at Twitter, it's we were right then. No more marching up and down the yard. And he sounds like that kind of, to me at least. And he realized more. He found this stuff out. Now when is it? It's May of 2021. We were talking about this in September of 2020. And the news is just getting out. It really is like the Soviet Union. Our media is like North Korean media. The Iranian media is legitimate compared to our media. And it's not limited to the United States because the left controls the media overwhelmingly in Great Britain and in Western Europe and elsewhere as well. And really they're coming into the fold of the kind of the Chinese Communist Party. And honestly, who's happier? I was struggling with this. I think it was our tease for today. Who's happier about the Biden presidency? Is it Vladimir Putin or Xi Jinping or the Ayatollah Ali Khamenei? Is it Iran, Russia, or China that is the happiest? Or is it the drug cartels? Did you see in Mexico? The Sinaloa cartel is incredibly happy, except there was a really huge bust yesterday in Virginia, in Loudoun County, Virginia. I want to get to that, too. One of the biggest drug busts in the history of the United States of America. Dozens of people arrested, a three-year operation closing in on the Sinaloa cartel out of Mexico, open borders. We're going to get into that gigantic, gigantic thing. But here is Russell Brand with the rest of his advanced thinking.
As I've said, Donald Trump, you know, I don't think Donald Trump's the answer. But I'm sad to realize that I can no longer even claim to believe that Joe Biden or the Democratic Party might be the answer. Because look at how they behave and look at the relationships between media, social media and that party. They conspired to keep information away from you because it was not convenient to their agenda.
When he says party, I think he's trying to say the word party. I think he's trying to say party. And when he says Twitter, I think he's trying to say Twitter. He's leaving T's out. He has a problem with T's. He can use T's at the beginning of words, but beyond that, he has some trouble with implementing the letter T letter T. I don't think Donald Trump is the answer, but I'm going a little cockney on him there. But I'm sad to realize, sad is not really the correct emotion, that I can no longer even claim to believe Joe Biden or the Democratic Party might be the answer, he says, right, me droogies and me, he says, because look at how they behave. Yeah, and look at the relationship between media, social media, and the party. Now, he's absolutely right about that. They conspired to keep information away from you because it was not convenient to their agenda. Russell Brand is realizing this. That must mean that millions of people, and if you're a Democrat, you're out there, are you really that personally corrupt? You are individually, that your family, your friends, you personally in your soul, if you haven't sold it, you're so corrupt that you think this is kosher, this is good with you. This is the kind of country you want to live in. This filthy third world rotten country. And this is how you become a third world country. You don't go bankrupt first and then become a third world country. You become corrupt first and then you go bankrupt and then you become a third world country. And Joe Biden has really stepped on the gas here when it comes to all of this. Since we're talking about the corruption of, and it really is, and I've talked about this before because it's true. And that's the stuff we talk about here is true stuff. The coalition between Adolf Hitler, there we go. Oh, he's going with the Hitler thing again. Yes, I am, yeah. And his party, which is a Socialist Workers' Party, all right? The National Socialist German Workers' Party. Yeah, we know it's German. And I love this. The left always says, oh, well, that's National Socialist. That's all different because the word national. No. You guys are a national party, and you're socialist. You're National Socialists. So see how that works? They called themselves the Socialist Workers' Party in the age of Socialist Workers' Parties, just by the way. But they had they created a coalition between the major industries of the time. At that time, the industries that were important to them were the steel industry, the Krupp family, Krupp Stahl, all of that, because they were going to build tanks and planes to go bomb everybody because they were going to spread the glories of National Socialist Workerism. And then they, you know, murdered tens of millions of people. Not as many as Stalin, the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, or Mao over in China, who that project is still ongoing. They murdered tens of millions, 50 million, possibly as many as 75 million Chinese people. A lot of raw material there, a liberal once told me when I brought that up. But this is, they're spreading the glories, and this is, they're breaking us down. They caught a guy at the border a couple of days ago who was fleeing Venezuela. And I think he's coming in with a backpack and a blanket over his shoulder or something, like it's centuries ago. And he's fleeing Venezuela because they have successfully implemented what Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and the Hamas squad is peddling. And he said, whatever you do, don't go down the road we went down, because you'll be looking for another country to flee to. This is a guy fleeing Venezuela. Now, we've apparently forgotten all of this. Our institutional memory has been wiped clean. But never mind all that. So we've got these stories. Biden budget would raise spending to highest levels since World War II. Okay? And then there's another headline, and that is the New York Post with a story. Biden preps $6 trillion budget that would raise spending to highest level since World War II. And Stephen Nelson wrote the story. He's a journalist. White House is preparing to issue a $6 trillion budget proposal, put the U.S. at its highest planned spending level since the Second World War. A budget documents are expected to be released Friday, naturally. You know, the weekend is upon us, and it's a holiday weekend, and it's the biggest scam. This is the biggest grift in the history of humankind. In the order of trillions and trillions of dollars by the left raping the U.S. economy to redistribute wealth and to create government programs that they assume will never go away. And it will destroy the economy in the United States. It's already damaging the economy in extraordinary ways. And Joe Biden smiles with his crazy, crooked smile and his capped teeth and says, oh, no, everything's going according to plan. All right. And then Joe Biden went out yesterday, and his allies in the media, they gathered around him like geese, and they were worshiping him because Obama wasn't there. The New York Post has another headline also by Stephen Nelson. Press slammed for making Biden their fave flavor with ice cream questions. Now, again, we've got this border crisis. We've got the China investigation with the origins of the virus out of the city of Wuhan in China and whether it's coming from the laboratory. And he announced another phony investigation that they're already slow rolling us on. They told the New York Times it won't be 90 days. It'll probably be much longer. And then there won't be anything in it. But that's another thing. So the press had a chance to ask the President of the United States with now intelligence investigating the origins of the COVID-19. Did it come from the laboratory in Wuhan, the Wuhan Institute of Virology? Did it come from a bat at an Ozzy Osbourne concert? Choose A, not B, if your brain works. And instead, the press, you know what the press asked him? Here's the press talking to Lunch Bucket Joe yesterday. With the open border crisis, they made 22,000 children disappear. Libertarian Reason magazine came up with the story on thousands of children at a military base in Texas who have fleas and lice and they can't get medical attention and there's no access to the press or to politicians. And what does the press ask Joe Biden? This is what they asked him.
Chocolate chip.
Oh, yeah. He's eating ice cream. And he's got, you know, they are scoop lickers, the news media there, the scoop-licking news media. They had a chance to ask the President of the United States a question about the virus out of the laboratory in the city of Wuhan, the Wuhan Institute of Virology, allegedly Longjing, but it's fake, U.S. intelligence. Oh, by the way, the New York Times discovered that there's piles of intelligence and data having to do with the Trump administration's investigation into the origins of the virus, but they've been hiding it from us. They've been concealing it from the American people. We're the taxpayers, lest we forget. They work for us. We're their bosses. And they don't see it that way, and our news media is another thing altogether. And you may here's their big chance, and you heard them oohing and aahing. Let's listen to that again, because it's real short. Listen to these suck-ups in the fake White House press corps. Listen to what a bunch of scoop lickers they are. We started with cone lickers, but we decided scoop lickers would probably go better. This is like double or triple scoop. And so they followed him to get ice cream again, because he has the brain of a six-year-old. Did you get, like, a haircut? And then mom took you out for ice cream. This is what they did when they had the chance to ask him serious questions.
Chocolate chip.
Oh, yeah.
Listen to the idol worship there. And you may remember during the campaign, he invited the press along for an ice cream outing as well. And instead of asking him why he's been hiding in his basement for 6 months and, you know, what he has to say to the American people and whether he's going to open the borders and be the best thing that ever happened to communist China, you know, just like the Obama administration was best thing that ever happened to Iran and to communist Cuba. The Obama-Biden administration was the best thing that ever happened to communist Cuba. Here's what the press did when they had the chance to ask him questions on the campaign trail while he was eating ice cream.
Mr. Biden, what flavor did you get?
We got one vanilla, one chocolate, but I wanted to get a, what we call black and white, and we're going to move it, and we're
going to split it. He got the black and white, but he wanted to split it. See, he got the black and white. This is our press. This is what we have. You know, you have to go to Washington with the press you have, not the press you'd like to have. That's our press. Scoop lickers from way back. They prefer the double scoop when it comes to one black, one white. He racialized his ice cream. And the press, I think they recognized it subconsciously, but probably not. Very corrupt family. And the Clintons, you know, very corrupt as well. The Obamas, they just took their many tens of millions. I think a couple hundred million already. You know, the estates on the oceanfront, the estate off of Embassy Row. The private jets belonging to... I wonder who's got Jeffrey Epstein's old jet now. You know that some Democrat has Jeffrey Epstein's old jet, and that they go around telling people that they have it as a badge of honor. I'll bet you a dollar. Lots of corrupt stories of the Biden family coming up that you're not going to hear on CNN or read in the New York Times.
Chocolate chip.
Oh, yeah.
Twitter.
There's only one... Chris Plant, The Chris Plant Show.
value of the U.S. dollar continuing to slump due to the unprecedented money printing, it's never been more important to protect your savings and retirement from inflation. A lot of hardworking Americans, just like you and me, are turning to a proven method to protect what we work so hard to earn. Real gold. You can have real gold delivered privately and securely to your home, or have real gold in your IRA or 401k by calling the Oxford Gold Group at 833-995-GOLD. The Oxford Gold Group will teach you everything you want to know about owning real gold. It's a lot easier than you think. Call the Oxford Gold Group now at 833-995-GOLD to get your free precious metals investment guide. Talk to Oxford Gold about getting real gold delivered to your home, or about having real gold placed in your IRA or 401k. Call them now at 833-995-GOLD. So what are you waiting for? Get gold you can hold from the Oxford Gold Group, 833-995-GOLD.
Rio 3 Products has everything you need to clean and protect your ride, from our flagship protectant to the revolutionary new graphene nano spray coating, tires and wheels, interiors and leather, waxes and sealants. The list goes on. When it comes to keeping your car looking its best, you've got a lot of choices. You can trust this family-owned company that formulates and manufactures its premium products right here in the USA. For more information, head to 303radio.com.
On the battlefield, there's a saying America's military men and women live by: never leave a fallen warrior behind, ever. Off the battlefield, Wounded Warrior Project operates with the same goal. Wounded Warrior Project was created to help our men and women returning home with the scars of war, whether those scars are physical or mental. Wounded Warrior Project. We never leave a fallen warrior behind, ever. Learn more about what we do at woundedwarriorproject.org.
Sir. Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you: printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Hi, I'm Todd Simon, the fifth-generation family owner of Omaha Steaks. There's nothing I love more than putting a steak on the grill for Father's Day. With Dad's Day right around the corner, send him more than just a gift. Send him an experience with the Get Out and Grill assortment. This package includes 20 entrees he's guaranteed to love. My personal favorite is the 10-ounce butcher cut New York strip. Plus, you'll get 4 New York strip burgers free with your order. Visit omahasteaks.com and type sizzle in the search bar. That's omahasteaks.com, keyword sizzle.
If you're an attorney who struggles with the balance of managing your practice and practicing law, consider Lexicon as your number one pick. From client intake to billing, and all that comes in between, Lexicon doesn't miss a thing. Our comprehensive solution combines best-in-class software and services to take care of your firm's most critical challenges, automating many of the tasks that take time out of your day. It's all about giving you more of your billable hours back. And who doesn't love more revenue? No more searching for practice management that works. Lexicon marks the spot. Visit lexiconservices.com to learn what Lexicon can do for you.
When the doctor told us about my mom's cancer, it made me feel so helpless. Until I called the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society and spoke with Grace, who answered all of my questions about the disease, treatment options, and cancer-related expenses. Her support and compassion made us feel whole again. Today I'm calling Grace to let her know my mom is beating cancer. To learn more, visit lls.org. Furnished by Leukemia and Lymphoma Society.
Hey, listen to this. Last Tuesday, I was robbed blind. A thief broke my car window, took my laptop, and ran off. Or at least that's what would have happened if I didn't have Vivint. Instead, here's what really happened. Thief walked up, my Vivint camera detected him, scared him, and he ran away. My Vivint security system doesn't just record crime, it actually prevents it with a flashing red light and a whistle. And the best part is, I can check in on my home from anywhere right from my phone, whether I'm at the gym or the office, thanks to Vivint. All is well. If you want a system professionally installed, fit with the best cameras and 24/7 monitoring, call Vivint today. 833-420-4070 for a free quote and lock in free installation and a free month of monitoring service. Vivint, smart security professionally installed. Call 833-420-4070 to get started today. Offer valid for new customers only. System purchase requires monthly service agreement and equipment package. Speak to a Vivint representative today for complete equipment, services, and financing details. Visit Vivint.com for licensing.
pricing information. Other terms and conditions may apply.
Chocolate chip.
Oh, yeah. We got the 5-year-old as president and 3-year-olds in the news media gushing effusively. It was kind of autoerotic listening to them. All right, let's go to the telephones. Let's go to John calling from Bel Air, Maryland. John, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Good morning, Chris. Thank you for taking my call. And that's the first time I got a chance to hear that audio soundbite. And my first thought was, are we now living in North Korea? That sounded exactly like something of the North Korea, their alleged press, and their adulation of dear leader. It's just surreal. It's like, what has happened to our country?
Yeah.
If they would have asked Trump that question, it would have been, oh, you like chocolate? Are you racist for liking chocolate?
Well, he said, and the other one, he said chocolate and vanilla. He racialized it. They would definitely racialize it. Yeah, our media is, really, there is a coalition. I was talking about, you know, Herr Hitler and his Socialist Workers' Party, the coalitions that he created with industry, at the important industries to him at the time. Well, the important industries today are in the communications business, in the communications industry. It's the media and social media in particular, and that means Jack Dorsey and Mark Zuckerberg. And the party, and that's actually what this clown Russell Brand was astonished to learn, that there is this coalition that has been created between the Democratic Party and the information sector of the economy, the information industry, the kingpins of the industry, the most important industry today, not steel, information. And it is an unholy alliance, a corrupt alliance, that corrupted in all likelihood our presidential election last year, withholding information from the American people, attacking the truth, our media. I mean, CNN, The Washington Post, The New York Times, The Los Angeles Times, the rest of them, attacking the truth and anybody that told the truth and spreading falsehoods. And then when the truth comes out, they sweep it under the rug and say, yeah, well, we talked about that, and they move on. It's a very corrupt time we're in.
Twitter.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.